Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons stars in the new MGM Plus original series, The Westies.
There it is, Javits Center.
Biggest construction project in the history of New York falls into the lap of the Irish.
This Irish crime gang built New York City on blood, sweat, and loyalty. Their legend is true.
The Italians outnumber us about 100 to 1.
Their story is criminal.
This Irish guy's threatening war.
He's gotta go.
Keep out of Hell's Kitchen.
The Westies. Watch now. Only on MGM Plus.
We're rolling, so we're capturing all this, by the way. So keep going.
Are we talking? So.
Dave is right now explaining Operation Mincemeat.
So Italy and Germany, they were trying to push through Northern Africa, Tunisia, and all that. Mm-hmm. And then they got flanked on the west side by the Americans. And the British.
Yeah.
And on the east side, so they pinched them up through Sicily and through Italy. And that's a battle of what? Alamein.
Alamein. That was Monty and yeah.
So the deception, I don't know what deception they're talking about. I could have gotten there in the Wikipedia deep dive. But all this part of the war, I do know enough about.
You were in the broad scope of things. Mm-hmm. You're in the right area, but like
what
yeah.
you saw North, was North Africa and Italy.
That's not what I saw.
Yeah.
It's not what
North Africa was not in the movie like at all.
And no,
I haven't seen the movie.
No shit.
I'm looking.
And it had nothing to do with the operation.
All right,
pushing through Sicily. It
but they
had
never
to.
Mentioned North Africa.
They would have had to because that's where they came from. Where the Axis powers retreated to was Sicily, and then through Italy,
back through
and
Italy,
and then back through.
I think the main issue is when you see Operation Mincemeat in Wikipedia and say, "Oh, I've heard of this before," and when you ask you to explain
that's not
it,
what I
you
said.
Explain
I,
absolutely.
That's, I feel like
none
that's exactly what I heard.
I think that's what I heard.
Even if that is what you heard. I know enough about what's going on around Operation Mincemeat going off the very
You can
first
be
paragraph.
Conversational about it, given your World War II acumen.
Yes, exactly, despite not seeing the movie.
And
so,
not never hearing of Operation Mincemeat.
That's a great way to start this episode. We are on episode 36 of Lights, Camera, Barstool, and joining me today is White Sox Dave, Smitty, and Barstool Chief. Castellani will be in us soon once he's done with Money Shots. But we are reviewing Operation Mincemeat, which is a World War II spy movie on Netflix. You two, Smitty and Chief, you already knew you had to watch this movie before coming. We pulled in Dave at the last minute to help in with our – we're doing it a war movies draft at the end of this. And he was very – you were very into it, right? You really want to do a war movie
draft?
Yeah,
this is my jam. That's all I – that's my favorite type of movie to consume.
Yeah.
And
Shrek
I'm excited.
Shrek was a war movie?
I'm sorry?
Shrek was a war movie?
I mean, it was displacement.
Kinda, yeah.
There was some displacement
some
there.
Refugees.
Yeah.
There were.
That's true.
Torture. The Gingerbread Man.
Yes.
True.
The gumdrop buttons.
Yeah.
Great movie. And I still am very, very
You're
strong
draft
in my belief.
It?
I might. I might have to. Just out of spite, but I might have to.
All right. Well, before we do that, we're going to get in some news. But before that, let's hear from Manscaped.
All right. Let's talk about Manscaped. Manscaped has just relaunched the Ultra Smooth Package. This specialized groin shaving kit is here to help you buff, protect, and shave your most sensitive areas. It's time to crop that bush of yours and get right into the roots with a discount built just for you from Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with the code LIGHTS. The Ultra Smooth Package is a specialized three-step groin shaving kit to help you buff, protect, and smooth your most sensitive areas. It includes the Crop Exfoliator, it's a gentle scrub for the area. Crop Gel, which is a clear lubricating shave gel. The Crop Shaver, which is a shaver made specifically to shave the groin. 6 replacement blades and a travel case. It's time to get up close and personal with the best tools for the job. The Ultra Smooth Package from Manscaped. Remember, get 20% off plus free shipping with the code LIGHTS at manscaped.com. It's 20% off plus free shipping with the code LIGHTS at manscaped.com. Smooth out your fellas with the relaunched Ultra Smooth Package from the fellas at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you.
Thank you to Manscaped. We do have a few news items to get to. Again, Dave has not seen any of these, but you guys, you've had the rundown. So the first thing up, we had a trailer for Predator that dropped today. The Predator prequel movie, which is called Prey, directed by Dan Trachtenberg, who directed 10 Clover Lane, and he directed some episodes of The Boys, stars Amber Midthunder as a Comanche warrior who's defending her tribe against a Predator. Predator movies have not been good since the first Predator movie. And I don't think that's a hot take. They've all been pretty bad. Even, like, Alien vs. Predator I thought was a cool novelty when I first watched it. But, like, never really took off after that. The last Predators movie was dog shit, too. It was real bad. But what do you guys feel about?
So I did not watch a trailer. You sent me the rundown maybe 2 hours ago, and I was still needing to finish Operation Mincemeat, so I haven't seen it. But, yeah, you're right. Like, and I think you are more accepting. Like, you have a broad range of movies. You'd be like, yeah, I'll watch that, and that was good. Me, I see Predator. I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. Not going to see it.
Yeah, I've never been a big Predator guy, but first of all, Prey, a great name for a prequel.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Makes perfect sense. And number two, anything that Carl Weathers has been associated with, I will support. So even though he might not be in this one, he was in Predator.
He was really, that cast in the original one was insane. It was, okay, go down the list. Bill Duke, great actor. He was in Commando too, a bunch of other great movies. Obviously Arnie, there was Shane Black, who later on became a director. He directed the last Predators movie, which was dog shit. Who was the wrestler? Jesse Ventura.
Ventura, the governor.
Ventura has a lot of very questionable lines in retrospect, too, in that movie.
Is that the only movie with two governors in it?
I think so, yeah.
Probably.
Wow.
I think it has to be.
Well, we'd have to look up and see if anybody...
Any non-historic.
Reagan.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
Reagan was governor of California, maybe sure. someone else was...
I forget who played that Native American Bill.
Yeah. Senator.
The guy played the Native American guy, Bill. I forget his real name, but he was cool, too. That was a great ending scene where he cuts the thing from his chest.
Yep.
It's an all-time great dad movie. But yeah, though, it looks... interesting enough, I guess. It's just like all you really do is get a really quick clip at like a Native American warrior, like kind of like hiding in the grass, and then you see the three laser dots on their head, which is so cool. That's the coolest, one of the coolest things about Predator is the three laser dots.
I think in general there should be more movies made. Like I did the audiobook. I was about to say I read it, but I did not read it. It was an audiobook of Empire of the Summer Moon.
Yeah.
Like that, like we need more Western stories told from like the perspective of the different tribes.
Yeah.
Like, that would be sick.
Agreed. There's a lot of good movies that I think have done like a modern take on it, like Wind River, for example. Wind River does a great job, I think, at like getting into like the native tribes and stuff like that.
Wind River, one of the most underrated movies.
Very good. Jeremy Renner.
It suffered really badly because it dropped right at the time that Harvey Weinstein shit blew up, and it was a Weinstein production, so it really got buried
badly. This might be not accurate, but let's just, I feel like that was also one of the first like major movies released directly to Netflix, so like people maybe weren't like
that. It did come very early like to Netflix
video. Like, they might have like been like, oh
yeah,
but now it's not like movies aren't thought of that way.
Yeah,
but I think that went straight to Netflix. People just didn't jump on
phenomenal Western though.
Operation Mincemeat, yeah,
very good call. Yeah. After that, we do have that Netflix again, another Netflix news, they're making a new season of Black Mirror. It's like, I feel like I got the gist of Black Mirror after like a few seasons of it, and I haven't really gotten back into it since. I don't know what your guys' feelings are on it, though.
Yeah, so I watched, it's not typically like the type of show that I like, and I think I got through 2.5 seasons, maybe 1.5 seasons, and there was an episode where it was like this house comes alive, and it like is a video game, and I'm like, you know what? I don't need this.
See, that's right up my alley.
Yeah.
I've watched every Black Mirror episode. So, some really good hits, some really good misses. But I knew from the jump when that politician was fucking that pig, I knew, like, okay, this is fucked up, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
That I liked. Did you watch Black Mirror?
I did not.
I had a feeling that wouldn't be up your alley.
The Choose Your Own Adventure Black Mirror. Was
that was terrible.
Okay.
Bandersnatch.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Awful execution.
This is Julia Roberts, correct?
Oh, my God.
What?
Wait.
Black Mirror?
Black Mirror is a series.
It's a series on Netflix. Like,
I've not watched it.
Every episode is a one-off. So like they'll have like
anthology.
It's crazy that you see like some of it is like.
I want to know what snapped in your mind. What, that just
what's
Julia
the
Roberts
fucking?
You're thinking of Bird Box.
And that's also
Sandra
not
Bullock.
Julia
Sandra
Roberts.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's directionally correct.
Yeah, you're
both women.
There are two women. That's undeniable.
I didn't watch that either.
Yeah.
You didn't watch that either, but
I did not.
That's but you're aware that it exists. Also,
Sandra Bullock.
And also straight to Netflix one.
It was. And then,
we had the big bird by our first.
That's what made me think of it.
Yeah.
That was tough.
Yeah,
that
true.
Was tough
double
day.
Doink day.
The double doink day.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, it was Bird Box.
Yeah.
The next thing, which I think will be the one that you guys probably know the most about, is just Pirates of the Caribbean. Apparently, according to Jerry Bruckheimer. Not a Pirates of the Caribbean guy,
I've seen parts of a handful of them.
You understand you're on a movie podcast right now.
No, this is good. He was a late invitation. I'm not going to dog him for not knowing.
Had I known I was coming on until 5 minutes ago, I would have watched it. Because Operation Mincemeat is
you would like that movie.
It's on the to-do list like immediately. I was going to watch it on the plane out here, but I fell asleep. But no, I have not seen any start to finish of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. None
That's interesting because I feel like those are some of the biggest blockbusters of like the 2000s.
everybody's got those weird movies. That's what the, where the whole Shrek thing, that was the genesis of it, because I had never seen any Shrek movie until last summer.
I feel like Shrek about a year ago. Pirates line up almost year for year as far as releases go, so maybe that's why.
Probably and I would say the first Pirates of the Caribbean,
that's the only
pretty
one
much must watch.
That's the only
the
one.
The other ones
I've
are like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the first one.
Phenomenal.
So, but finish that. I didn't hear.
So Bruckheimer confirmed that they are working on a new Pirates of the Caribbean project, and it'll star Margot Robbie, which is obviously Margot Robbie, one of the most she's a great actress, one of the most attractive humans on earth, probably. And
probably.
Like, yeah.
Is she spreading herself too thin here? The Barbie movie and then Pirates of the Caribbean? She's
she working too much?
No, I
working
mean,
too
I don't
hard.
Know.
I mean, of course,
she's
it's coming from
Smitty. Like, every project possible.
I like, think that's the one you take, though. You get offered a Pirates movie, you get to redeem the franchise. I mean, like, yeah.
Cash that check, baby.
Exactly.
I'm not begrudging anybody for cashing checks, but I mean, she's a phenomenal actress.
Even the shitty Tanya Pirates Harding, movies.
I feel like actresses have like a short shelf life sometimes, and if you can get $100 million doing a few of these big bigger ones, more power to
and
you.
Even the worst Pirates movies still made a fuck ton of money.
It's gonna make $1 billion for
like
sure.
The gentleman on the stand.
Has he commented on the Depp trial at all?
I don't think he has at all. And all I know is that during the trial, Depp said something like he only did the movies because he wanted more money to like help with his situation with Amber Heard or something. And he's like, that's the only reason I did those movies. I never wanted to do the last couple ones at all. And which is kind of, it makes sense.
I didn't want to get $100 million. Yeah.
He has said other things too. It's like, that character means so much to me. I built that character, blah, blah, blah. I was wondering if he would just be like, fuck these guys.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not working for them again. Or if they offered him like, hey, here's $75 million. Our bad.
He'd be
like, all right, I forgive you.
Yeah, I feel like he, well, I think it would be harder with WB because obviously they kicked him off of the last Harry Potter movie. But, and if you, obviously listeners, you already know how I feel about this. It is the biggest win-win situation for Johnny Depp that he got kicked off those movies because that movie was dog shit. It's terrible. He got paid $20 million, or sorry, $10 million, his full contract to not be in it. Which is like, that's the biggest win I think I could possibly imagine.
It's like an NFL guy or a professional athlete getting a buyout and be like, yep, pay me my full boat and I'll
not
sit
even
at
athlete, just like a coach.
In addition to that, everyone, they're shitting on WB for it. Nobody has any issue with Johnny Depp about it really anymore. The court of public opinion flipped and now everyone just hates Warner Brothers for not like, or for kicking him off of that Harry Potter movie. So big win for him. I think at the end of the day, Margot Robbie, she has, I don't know if she's like a swagger actress. You know what I mean? Like, Pirates have a lot of swagger.
I think she can actually pull that off. I think she's got, like, this... I mean, it might be easy just because she's so beautiful, but she's got, like, a little bit of an edge to her.
I think she can pull anything.
She's a great actress.
Yeah, phenomenal.
In spite of what she looks like, I think she's awesome.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where, like, you need to carry yourself.
You
think only, like, beautiful people can act?
Me?
Yeah.
Typically, it's the other way around.
It's true. You got to work
people
for your
food. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the thing is, like, I just think of pirates, and I think, like Joan Jett would be a great pirate. Like, just someone with a lot of swagger to them. You know what I mean? So I don't know if that's necessarily Robbie, but it's whatever. Before we get into the next piece of news, let's talk really quick about BetterHelp.
All right, let's talk about BetterHelp. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist so that you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can give it a try to see if online therapy can help lower your stress. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Lights, Camera, Barstool listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/lights. I used it over the pandemic, thought it was awesome, did a really, really good job of just like letting me get the therapy, which I needed, but without having to go to an office, which was, even before COVID, still kind of a pain in the butt. Remember, that's betterhelp.com/lights.
Thanks to BetterHelp. This one, I know, White Sox Dave, this is probably the only reason you're here is to talk about this piece of news, which is that Christopher Walken has been cast as the Emperor of the Known Universe in Dune 2. I know you're excited about this one.
I have not seen Dune 1, but I'm a Christopher Walken fan.
I figured. Do an impression real quick. You're talking about a guy all wrong.
Now I shoved that watch up my ass for 7 years.
Why is it Southern?
Was like Foghorn Leghorn a little bit there.
I shoved that watch up my ass.
That's what you're doing.
I know.
No, that wasn't right at all. That was a terrible impression.
I thought you were directionally correct. I'm thinking of his lines in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Do the cowbell. That's the only way to do it. You got to do the cowbell scene.
Well, that one, he's just like, I got to have more cowbell. He doesn't like.
Was that the impression, or were you just saying the line?
I know what the line is, but I can't do his impression, obviously. Okay. Well, you do it. You guys are laughing. You do it.
I just knew I could ask you to do it, and you would try, and it would be that.
So see, we turn down things that we don't know or can't do. We don't have to.
Well, you guys aren't born bred entertainers like me.
This is just me lofting it to you. Yeah.
That's a great alley.
I think if I'm a
director.
I'm a director. Yeah. I could get it eventually.
Yeah, I think given time, I would trust you to get it.
Thank you.
But did you either of you two see Dune?
No.
Dune is, and it's on HBO Max now.
Dune
so you
or Doom?
Dune.
Doom.
Like Indiana.
Yeah. D-U-N-E. Yeah. It's on HBO Max now, so you can watch it. It's a great thing for your flight home, in case you want it. Whenever that is, anyway. We're recording The Dozen right after this. So I think that it is a great casting, only because Christopher Walken is sneakily a pretty good dramatic actor when he wants to be. Very funny. Like, even, I think of movies like Balls of Fury. Balls of Fury, he's so fucking funny in that. That's just a stupid fucking movie, but he's so funny in that movie. But he's also good at drama, and Denis Villeneuve, who has made some of the best movies of the last probably 15 years. Like, I'm going to name some movies for you. I want to see if you've seen them. Right, Arrival?
Nope.
Arrival is the one with, she's talking to Amy Adams and Aliens?
Yes.
Yes, I've seen it. I think it's very overrated.
Let's do, after that, Blade Runner 2049.
No.
Have not seen. I've heard of it, though.
Sicario?
Oh, yeah.
Sicario.
I love Sicario. Great movie. Sicario.
I'll check it out.
He directed that one. And there's a couple other ones I'm missing. But Prisoners, oh, all-time great movie right there.
Great movie.
Yeah, and a couple other ones, a couple smaller movies. But he is never missed. Anyway, I think it's a good casting. After that, we had a trailer for The Boys Season 3. The Boys, one of the better superhero series I think ever made, period, already. And I think it's only going to get better because they added in Jensen Ackles from Supernatural, who's cool. He's going to play Soldier Boy. Not the Soldier Boy.
Soldier
the
Boy.
Fat, not the,
not
crank
the Devin
guy.
Hester pump-up song?
No, different guy.
Not the Soldier Boy who came into the Barstool offices 4 or 5 years ago and started handing out cards
to
his knockoff.
I forgot about that.
System.
He gave us all signed cards. What was that?
Yeah. Samir, are you a like superhero movie guy?
I used to be big time, and I think genuinely the market is oversaturated.
For sure.
But I agree with that, for sure.
The one good thing about The Boys, though, is that it subverts superhero stuff. It's like very R-rated, lots of sex, lots of nudity, lots of gore, tons of gore, like more gore than you've ever seen in your life, and very, very funny, too, and on top of
that. Where I'm at with it is I can't afford, with the wife and kid, to just not waste time, but to watch, 6 hours or something. I don't know what's good. I'm going to wait now, see what's good, watch later. Like the Avengers. Avengers, great. So I'll watch that.
Yeah.
But
they are great.
Par, like Suicide Squad, when the first one comes out, fuck
yes.
That.
Dude, can we talk about that for a split second? The first Suicide Squad was the worst piece of shit I've ever seen in my entire life.
I like how you've seen that one, but you haven't seen like Dune yet.
I mean, that one's on TV, and it's one of those cheap thrill movies. And I've never seen it uncut. I've seen it on TV, and I'm like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. It's up there with The Happening.
It is so horribly bad and mismanaged. The guy who directed
it's got
that,
a star-studded cast.
It does. And so the guy who directed that's David Ayers. He also directed a movie I'm assuming that you've probably seen and liked, which is End of Watch.
Nope.
Solid movie.
Yeah.
Solid
cop movie.
Yeah.
Nope.
Seems like one that you guys would like.
Yeah, I think you guys would
yeah.
like that.
He did Fury, which is a war movie.
Fury.
Fury. Yeah. I've seen Fury. That's
that.
Brad Pitt.
That's Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I've seen
and
Fury.
And the guy that I hate.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf, who I fucking
big
hate.
Comeback. I used to hate Shia too. He did a 180 with me.
Really?
Yeah, he definitely
still
well,
like
now
him.
It's 180 again.
He's
got some
him?
Shit going on with him. Yeah. But he did have a 180. Peanut Butter Falcon, great movie. Honey Boy,
great
movie.
Even before there's that, he went on, was it a Tonight Show or Ferguson? Mm-hmm. He explained a story about how he got kicked out of the West House. So I'm like, this guy's just one of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a normal dude.
That's what he is. And then he's batshit.
Not in the other way. Yeah. It was like, what's his name? Ezra Miller getting arrested every 10 minutes in Hawaii. I'm not. You guys probably aren't too caught up on that, are you?
Probably not. Probably not.
The guy who plays The Flash has been arrested in Hawaii 20 times.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
For what? Just like.
Like beating people up and throwing shit at them and spitting on them. Like he's just.
Wasn't
he's
he getting
just
arrested and just yelling about NFTs?
Yeah, you're saying like I'm being arrested because I'm an NFT crypto man. It's like, well, what the fuck does that even mean? What are we doing here? It's in crazy territory.
Maybe he's right.
And the last thing we have on our news list is that Alan Ritchson, who is Thad Castle from Blue Mountain State, He was also Jack Reacher in the new Jack Reacher series on Amazon Prime. He's been cast in Fast 10, the new Fast and Furious movie. Don't know exactly what the role is just yet, but that movie just underwent a director change too. Justin Lin left because Vin Diesel was such a dickhead and so horrible to deal with on set that he left the franchise that he built and probably surrendered like a $20 million payday because Vin Diesel was such a dick. And then they hired in the guy who made the first Transporter movie to now direct this last or second to last entry of the Fast franchise.
Is this a record for franchise movies?
There's definitely really shitty franchises that have made like movies that make like $100,000 at the box office.
I mean, it's 10.
It's a lot. And it's a two part.
Tapered off at all?
No, it's weird. They have like peaks and valleys. Like,
okay.
Like the first one, like some people think it's the worst. I think it's solid. People hate the second one. People hate and love Tokyo Drift.
It's a totally different movie.
Yeah. Completely different. Yeah. And like 5 is really good, 7 is really good, and then they kind of just in between there and after get really weird. And Hobbs and Shaw I kind of liked. Kind of done. Yeah. I like The Rock. He's not
They
bad.
Are what they are.
Exactly.
You know exactly what you're getting when you go.
I just think it's crazy that it's like, I got an idea in the pitch room, like Fast 10.
Yeah.
No, just Fast 12.
Too. Yeah. They did the Roman numeral like, for it.
It's just too many.
Well, when the ninth makes, you know.
I know.
Not that hard of a decision.
Yeah. I know.
That's all it is, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's but the guy Alan Ritchson I think is kind of cool for this because he's very jacked. He's huge. If you guys have seen, I'm assuming Blue Mountain State. That seems like something that's like a required viewing to work at Barstool for some reason, at least to the naked eye, wouldn't it be?
We must have different rules in the Chicago office because I have not seen that either.
It's like this really goofy, douchey comedy about like players in a D3 college or something, like football players.
Oh, it sounds like very relatable.
Yeah, and like it's about like the backup quarterback. And his friends that are the team, and him wanting to be a backup quarterback because he thinks it's the best job in football, but he being forced to be it's kind of like a what do you call it?
Varsity blues,
but in college.
Yeah, and Thad Castle's like the big linebacker that's just massive, joked out of his mind, and just kind of going crazy all the time. And then he's played Jack Reacher.
He had a lot of work to do.
Yeah, no, I think
it sounds like it. Yeah, it
seems like a series you guys would dig. Jack Reacher.
On the Wikipedia page.
It's like, oh yeah, I knew about this.
No, I didn't. I've never watched Blue Mountain State either. Everybody says I love that.
But show. I understand D3 football, so I pretty much.
And for the record, I am caught up on Operation Mincemeat, and I was more right than you gave me credit for.
You said absolutely nothing
of the plot
of the movie. It was very broad.
Of the operation.
Of the operation. Yes.
You named the countries involved in World War II. That's all you named.
That's not what I did. When we get there, no, I'm looking at it right now.
Yes, it is. That's exactly what you did. England, or you know, Britain and America.
I named the operations.
You started off like a middle school,
or the battles,
like,
rather,
book report, where you're like the Axis, which is made up of Germany and Italy.
You'll find out when we give you the description of the movie that how wrong you were.
So when on the Eastern Bloc, when Hitler was
Eastern Bloc wasn't around yet. That's after World War II.
I understand. In the Eastern Front, rather.
Okay.
When they were pushing, when the Germans were pushing towards. Russia and the Soviet Union and all that. Okay. It wasn't Soviet Union yet.
Yes, it was.
They wanted to have a stronghold in the Balkans because of the oil. And then Hitler split off into two because he's like, oh, Stalingrad, I want that city solely because of what?
Pride.
The namesake. Yeah. It's the name of it. It's like, oh, I want it. He was like rubbing Stalin's nose in it. So he split off into two and went down into the Balkans. He knew that he didn't have enough troops down in the Balkans, and the Allies, they knew that Hitler was like worried about not having enough troops down there, so they did the whole deception thing and went after. They said they were going to go to the Balkans, but instead they went through Sicily up in through Europe that way.
So you definitely expanded the scope of it so that you could talk more about it. Yeah,
I got the scope of it.
You expanded it a lot so that you could talk more about
this
it.
This is a nitty gritty.
I'm still getting there.
Well, why don't you just chill on that, and then you can watch the movie.
Yeah, here.
I want to. I'm going to tonight, maybe.
Well, that's even better. We can work right into the review then. We are reviewing Operation Mincemeat. It's on Netflix. If you haven't seen it yet, this is going to be a spoiler review. So it's not like it's not like we're watching like Doctor Strange or some shit where there's big spoilers. It's a historical operation.
I mean, you can just look up the Wikipedia page like Dave or watch World War II in color.
Yeah, you can look up the Wikipedia page and still not understand.
And still not totally understand what's happening. It is directed by John Madden, not related. The guy who made Shakespeare in Love, Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, stars Colin Firth, Matthew McFadden, who you probably know as Tom Wamsgans from Succession, Kelly MacDonald, who was in Boardwalk Empire, a couple other things, pretty good actress, and Jason Isaacs, who you probably know as the dickhead from The Patriot.
Very good actor. Awesome dickhead. He's an awesome dickhead.
And a great dickhead in The Death of Stalin.
Yeah, Death of Stalin is probably one of my favorite roles of his. He's so good in that. It's General Zhukov. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That's something you should look up too, Dave, is the death
of Stalin. Very, very, very satisfying death.
What, for him?
For him in the
Patriot. In The Patriot, yes. Yeah. Extremely satisfying. Okay, so going into the spoiler review, I think that the easiest way to say, just kind of quickly sum up this movie is that I think it's one that anyone can...
You don't want to let Dave do it?
Oh, yeah, actually, here, let's just do it.
You can have the honors.
Well, this is a movie. You'll break down the actual nitty-gritty operation, because the movie obviously takes some creative liberties. Mm-hmm. I think it's a movie that anyone can like, as long as you go into it with a fair set of expectations, because if you expect it to be a high-octane spy thriller, hardcore war movie, or anything like that, you'll definitely be a little bit disappointed. But if you go in expecting a more realistic take on a very real operation, I think you can like it. And I think it's easier, too, to break down the movie sort of into the technical aspects of it versus the acting. Because on the technical side of things, I really liked the production value of it. Mm-hmm. I think it looked like they really get you into that setting, like, which is very, very specific, obviously. And something that we've seen a million times. So, like, we've seen World War II movies a trillion times, so you have to do it right.
Yep.
And I think some of the way they presented the timeline with almost a heist movie-type montage was kind of cool. And I think the biggest problem with this movie is that the love triangle was pointless.
Yeah, what the fuck?
It was just absolutely pointless and just took time away from the movie. It was a waste of time. And I think that, and Chris is coming in now. We're going to have you on that one. I think that the love triangle is just a waste of time. And I think that it definitely makes the pacing issues of the movie hurt a little bit worse. And that is kind of like, they set you up for like what type of movie it's going to be right in the beginning. They say like, hey, there's two wars that happen during this, right? It's the war that happens in the trenches, on the beaches, all that shit. And then there's the secret war, which is in back rooms and shit, like mm-hmm. people conniving. Yeah. So like, you're seeing the back room.
Yeah, I would say that in terms of feel, it would remind me of like a Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so that would be like a World War II Zero Dark Thirty, where they're going through the planning of the operation, how high stakes it is, all these different little steps along the way to get to the eventual goal.
Yes, exactly. And I think that it's definitely a more accurate representation of what spycraft is, right?
Yes.
Like you ask them in the CIA, they're not going around fucking doing field work, whatever.
Correct.
All that bullshit. Like they're sitting at their desk, like going through pages on their computer. And this is like their version of that. And I do think that on the acting side, Firth and McFadden were solid, right? Because those guys, they're fallible, which, like, you do, like, most spy movies, like, I feel like they make the spies like Superman, right? It's like, oh, they can do no wrong. They're fucking
James Bond.
They're Ethan Hunt. Yeah. They're James Bond. Yeah. Which this movie has a big connection to James Bond because it involves Ian Fleming, who wrote James Bond movies and was a British intelligence officer. but I think that with these guys, like, we think of those dudes so the smartest dudes in the room and all that. In this movie, they were not 100% certain with themselves, right? Like, mm-hmm. they were very much like, we don't know if this is going to work. We're scared. We don't know if this is right. We don't know if that's right. But they did a good job of, like, making that feel more real. Kelly MacDonald, I feel like, was kind of a waste. But, again, that's kind of just the love triangle.
That's a thing that's happened to Colin Firth, like, four times. Where they keep putting him in movies with women who are, like, 30 years younger.
Yeah.
Remember that Woody Allen movie where they were trying to hook him up with Emma Stone? And it's like,
it's very uncomfortable.
You should be your fucking daughter. You're, like, what are you doing?
You could be your granddaughter.
Right, yeah. Like, though, as good of an actor as he is. I mean, I appreciate you guys holding down the fort here as I was recording another podcast. I hope I don't repeat anything, but, like, the story in this movie rules.
Yes.
Like, it's a legitimately great story. And it's just so, like, it reminded me a little bit of Argo, where it's like, I can't believe this shit actually is real. Like, just how bizarre it was. Like, we're just going to take a dead body and just throw him overboard. So I really like the acting. I really like the story. I like the setting. My biggest problem is the movie's just dry. Like, I really definitely feel like dry. It could have used a better director, because I thought back, you brought up Zero Dark Thirty. It was kind of a cross between Zero Dark Thirty and The Imitation Game for me.
Yeah.
The difference is both those movies have, like, crazy tension in them. And in Imitation Game especially, you get to the end and Cumberbatch's character is, like, so sympathetic and heartbreaking. Here, as good as the story is – the movie is so bogged down in the second act by that love triangle. And, yeah. and you know, maybe it's true to life. It's possible. But, like, even beyond that, as good as the acting is, there's no chemistry there.
So, like, I feel like the when they use that love triangle or any kind of love scene that doesn't necessarily fit with the general plot of the movie, it's just to make you care about the characters a little bit more. But it did not achieve that at all. Like, I'm like, I still don't care. Like, get these two off my screen.
That's one thing I really like about Zero Dark Thirty is that, like, Jessica Chastain's character is so no BS. Like, there's no love interest. It's just I'm just entirely focused on this.
And obviously, it just made me want her more.
For sure, no, she's a fucking badass in that movie. Yeah. She, who won the Oscar? Was it Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings, I think?
Sounds right.
She should have won. She was so good in that. But yeah.
No, that
what's that?
Yeah, just incredible in that
she's
movie.
She's crazy good in it. Yeah, this movie's all right. Yeah, I came out of it. I'm just like, it's well made. Yeah. I think World War II movies, like, I can't call them genre pictures in the way that we call, like, comic book movies. But, like, my dad is going to love this movie. Like,
That's the biggest thing.
That's the category I would put it in if I'm introducing this category to your listeners. Dad porn.
It's definitely a dad porn movie.
It's where you get a little bit of military history, maybe about something you don't know about. There's a good plot to it, and you just put it on and you let all your dreams and ambitions go away. I'm watching.
See, all of that, and you're both saying that you thought it needed more tension. Like, to me, it had kind of like a Mad Men pacing. Like, I love that show, Mad Men. And it was just like nothing was over dramatized, which I kind of appreciated. And so when things did get ratcheted up, it made me feel like, okay, like this thing really is on a razor's edge. If it could work or not, it could go wrong a million different ways. And I feel like they told the story plainly, which made it more believable, I guess.
I think I understand that. And then also to your point, Chris, it's just like World War II, I think, to all of us is something like such, it's not in the way I'm saying it, but like exciting to an event. It's like such a huge, huge thing that like it encompasses all these movies that are so exciting and in your face and explosions and action and shit. And this does feel very dry in comparison to that. There's not as much juiciness to it, but it's like you're saying, Chief, and that just adds to the realism. Like, I don't expect them to be, like, if they were doing that shit, like if they were doing like James Bond stuff in this movie, like going out and like sleeping with a Nazi's wife and then murdering him. Like, I'll be like, this is kind of like a weird movie, but I think it was more realistic. I just really think you dump that love triangle from this movie, it is significantly better.
Yeah. I mean, it's a 2-hour movie that could be 90 minutes.
You cut 30 minutes off the runtime. Yeah. It's a lot tighter. Another, when you bringing that up and just talking about it being a little dry, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy was another one, which is like, okay, it's a objectively well-made movie. But holy shit, it's boring at points. Like, because it's so. I'm being generous.
Really liked it.
But the acting is so good. But it's more. It's so true to life that you're like, man, give me something. Like, have an explosion somewhere in this. Yeah, this is admittedly more entertaining to me than that was.
And
I feel
the story
like,
here, I've never heard of this operation.
Me neither.
So same. That puts in a lot of interest for the dad board.
Yeah, I think there's a big segment or a big part of my heart for movies like that where you watch them and then you immediately go down a Wikipedia rabbit hole looking up like 50 different things, going through 20 different links. And that was me with like World War II secret operations right after this movie ended. I was like going through a million things.
They should, you know how they like 30 for 30 just was like, this is our category and we're going to go through all these. Someone should do that, but for these different operations.
Yeah.
And even ones that got stuck in a drawer. You know, that they didn't use. Like, that would be like, all right, here's what we were thinking. And you interview some key players if they're still alive. And then, like, that's the show. Well, like, that would be sick. And I feel like that's never really been done, at least not well.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because there was a book made about this operation. Yes. What the man
that's what it's based off of, yeah.
That's what it's based off of. There's a movie in the 50s, and now it's kind of cyclical. They're all going back to the well and trying to figure out stuff. Okay.
And, like, it's really cool. And, like, the way that they present it, as being like just kind of an end all be all, like we need to find a way to save all these people's lives, and like them that kind of being like their impetus of like doing everything that they're doing, and like even at the end of like when they were going to drop off the body, like the guy going on the boat with them because he's like, I need to make sure this works, like one of us needs to be there, like that's like you get the sense of the gravity of it. But it also it ends and like they're just kind of like give you that sort of in between response with like, yeah, either this saved the war or did nothing. We're not entirely sure.
It's a little hollow. It's a little hollow at the end.
It didn't hurt.
Yes, definitely didn't.
Right. Yeah.
And Dave was saying the Balkans, they were really, it was Greece. So
Greece. Yeah. Directionally. I know. Well, that's what it's a direct
pipeline to Greece from Northern Africa.
Yes.
And now I know what the deception was.
Okay, well, okay, describe Operation Mincemeat for those of you, those listening.
So Operation Mincemeat, so the Allies wanted to push back through Southern Europe. Mm-hmm. And being in Northern Europe, in Tunisia and in Egypt, the two areas or countries that made most sense were Greece and Sicily/Italy. Mm-hmm. So the Allies ended up pushing through Sicily and Italy. That's what happened. We know that. But they dumped a dead body overboard. And this is where it's going to start getting directionally correct, I hope, with a bunch of secrets. And I'm using air quotes for a podcast, not good podcasting. fake, like, hey, we're going to go and we're going to push through Greece and the Balkans. And that's how we're going to get through Southern Europe again.
Yeah.
Yes. So now I'm getting there, correct?
That's it. This is like a side note. I'm always shocked that they're like, I know what our best option is. Mm-hmm. The fucking worst, most mountainous, disgusting terrain of an island. They're like that. And then just to go to Italy, which is just more of the same. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't believe that they're like, hey, we got two options here. Like, we're going to go into either of these two rocky, uninhabitable, you know, like, just it would have been like brutal warfare had they not redirected them to a different to Greece. So I think it probably did help, because I think that would have been
We won the war in the end.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Didn't do it through getting through Italy, though. They never really were able to break through too much down there. They had the Alps and shit. It got Dolomites, crushed by mountain troops. I'm surprised why they never went through like southern France. Because like that was Churchill's big thing, is like the way we're going to win this war is the soft underbelly of Europe.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to go up through the bottom because the top is way too fortified, too many, like they're so set up there. But he just didn't really account the Alps into the situation.
Right.
He's like, we can't really just bring soldiers through these fucking mountains. It's hard. And like he almost made the Italian army, which was like the worst army of the entire war, like look like superheroes because the Germans were able to stop them.
Well, that's like the whole thing with, you know, the Ukraine-Poland thing, is that like nobody wants to invade going through like the middle of Europe because it's all mountains. But if you can get through this little gap between the border of Germany and Poland, where kind of the mountains turn into plains, and then Ukraine, then it like fans out and it's like a sprint. And you saw Hitler use that when he was attacking the Soviets and took a lot of ground, and then just was like, we took it too fast. We're not supplied. And we're fucked. Yeah.
And then that he didn't even make it to Moscow in the same way that Napoleon did. Napoleon didn't. They just like left Moscow. Russia was just like, fuck it, we're out.
Yeah.
And then Napoleon was so dissatisfied because like he wasn't able to like actually celebrate his victory that they just left and got their ass beat. Much like that's my favorite thing that every somewhat history knowledgeable person always like goes back to, is that like history repeats itself. Yeah. Well, look at Barbarossa and Napoleon. Okay, so my final score for this movie would probably be like a 79, something like that, because I think it was well put together. I like the actors, and I think they did a good job. It's just like, for me, this movie would be high 80s if you get rid of that romantic subplot. It added nothing to the movie at all. Did not give me the characterization like you were saying, Chief, where it's like, at least they're human too. Like, it didn't do that.
They were just
two horny old men that were letting this distract them from an operation that was potentially going to save hundreds of thousands of lives. Like, it was crazy. What would you give it, Chris?
It's a 63 for me. It's actually gone up since I've seen it. I mean, I liked it a little bit more over time just because it's gonna sound weird. But like it's so harmless and so well intentioned that it's a really good Netflix movie. I feel like weekend, you know, not baseball games are over, whatever, you can just turn it on and watch it. Like that's
To your point about that, like I finished it just like an hour ago in the hotel room. But when I first started watching it, it was I think Saturday morning. I was awake. I was awake, you know, alone, just me and the dog having coffee, watching that movie, and then you know whatever. But it was, I think that's like the perfect description.
Yeah.
Can you compare it to Meef, another World War II sub? We were talking about the Imitation Game.
It's definitely very close to that.
I think I like Imitation Game a lot more, but yeah.
I thought that was a good movie.
Yeah.
I never see it again, whatever, but
no, it's a good movie.
That's a perfect way to put it. I don't know if I'd ever watch this again, but for a one-time watch, it's good.
Yeah. Solid, but if it came on, this is kind of like my like descriptor if I think a movie's good. If I'm scrolling through and it's on cable, if I stop on it and stay until the next commercial break, then I like the movie.
It does.
I think
that's a perfect description.
It does feel like there should be a TNT logo like at the bottom right hand corner of this movie. Yeah. Like it's gonna be one of those movies.
So it's cheesy,
and I don't think that's an insult.
No, it's not. It's not. It's just.
They used to run Shawshank. That's how that verb became a thing.
Yeah, it's just one of those movies. I bet will get replayed. Yeah.
Yes, it's it was an interesting. What would you give it? By the way, what would you guys score it out of 100?
71.
Yeah, damn, I was going to be higher than you guys. I'll put it like right at an 80. Like I enjoyed it. It's in my wheelhouse. Like the pacing that you're talking about didn't bother me. So subject matter, A+. I really like the subject matter. Mm-hmm. I thought they told the story well. It's just that love scene that kind of killed it for me. So I'll say right at an 80. If they removed that, I'd probably be mid-80s. I thought, and I like the actors. I love Tom Wamsgans. I don't know his real name.
Matthew McFadden,
but I think he's great, and I think Firth's really good. And I enjoyed it more than you guys, I guess.
I think it was almost, to me, like a very well-put-together cinematic documentary. And like, that's cool. Yeah. I like that because I love documentaries, and I love World War II documentaries. So, like, that's very specific to my taste, I think, which definitely boosts it up a little bit. But just, again, you dump that love triangle, you make it a little bit quicker. Because, like, you shave, like, 30 minutes off this, and this would be – I'd be like, everyone has to watch this. Like, it's very, very interesting for history nerds. Mm-hmm. But anyway, now we're moving into the reason why Sucks Dave is here, by the way, which is the war movie draft. Mm-hmm. We have a predetermined order. The order is Smitty first, Chief second, Chris third, me fourth, White Sox Dave last. It's going to be...
Just hold on a minute while Dave Googles best war
movie. I mean, I'm an expert drafter at this point. That's what we do for every draft.
All right, Smitty, you're up first. 1-1.
Really no surprise here, 1-1. There's, I think, maybe four or five movies that could possibly be drafted overall, but this is pretty much the only one that should be unanimous, and that's Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, had to be. There was no other movie. I'm trying to think of what would go number one overall. I'm like, nobody was going to pick anything other than Saving Private Ryan. It had to be number one.
You could throw a few others in there. You can argue for the case, but this is the only one everyone's just kind of like, 1-1.
Safest number one.
Fuck you, Shakespeare in Love.
Piece of shit. That was such a fucking good movie, and I rewatched it the other day, too. That cast retroactively incredibly stacked, too. Like
before they were stars too.
Yeah, most of shade of Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Ribisi.
No, that was right. Ribisi. That was right when like the Fast and Furious movies were out.
They were
right?
about
no,
to start.
It was because Saving Private Ryan was what 98 and
that was pretty much
then
his first
Fast
was
2001.
I thought. Yeah.
Edward Burns. Barry, he was in the boiler room. Barry Pepper.
Yeah.
Tom Sizemore.
Tom Sizemore.
I fucking love
Ted Danson and.
Barry Pepper interview,
cameo,
And
even Matt Damon, I think, was already because Good Will Hunting had already been a thing, but he was that
well,
was.
Well, I think he was the guy.
Yeah, you know? That was when he was up and
him
coming.
And Hanks
yeah.
were like the two.
What's his name? Nathan Fillion was in that too. That's a guy who's like a face you recognize, but maybe don't know the name off the top for you.
Movie's
guys.
Just so fucking tense, dude. That movie, like legitimately, like some of the best directed scenes ever in a movie are.
But probably the most realistic war scene. All time.
Their depiction of D-Day is insane. It's Bryan Cranston's in it. I forget about
that. That's right.
He's in the war office. Yeah.
It's weird that 24 years later.
And what's his fucking face? He was a senator from Tennessee who ran for president. The bald hair guy who was like the head of the War Department, who was also an actor.
Saving Private Ryan?
He was in Saving Private Ryan, yeah. But you know who I'm talking about? He ran for president, I want to say, in like 2008. And like was at one point was considered one of the favorites, but I'm blanking on his name right now.
I didn't realize this, but the guy who plays the dude whose ear was fucked up from fucking
Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans. Yeah. The main guy from Remember the Titans is in it too.
Keep scrolling. Him. Who is it?
Harv Presnell. I'm not familiar off the top. Broadway guy. But I mean most of these other ones are
names. Something so generic.
Dennis Farina, a lot of these other guys we mostly know. But Paul Giamatti, I always forget. Was he talking about the traveler in his boot or something?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Some great scenes in that movie.
It's weird that
Fred Thompson.
It's weird that 24 years later, so many movies still rip off that style. Like the shaky cam, like we want to make you feel like you're in the action. Yeah. That's a revolutionary movie, it really is. Yeah.
One of the coolest ad-lib moments, I think, in movie history is Matt Damon ad-libbing that entire speech he gives to Tom Hanks about his brothers and like being sleeping with the girl. That's all ad-lib.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Matt Damon made up the entire story.
And there's so many nuggets to that movie that Spielberg added in when the D-Day invasion, where you see two seemingly German soldiers who want to surrender.
Yeah.
They're coming at you, but they're actually speaking in Czech, saying, "No, we're Czech. We were forced."
Did not
to
know
fight.
That. Mm-hmm.
And
people don't even know that.
They shot him. And they said, "What do you think he was saying?" "Oh, look, I watched Man for Summer because they just thought he was German."
Yeah, exactly. Damn shame.
Go down the rabbit hole, wow. And that actually fucking happened. Huh.
Yeah. Exactly. Nice. All right, so Chief, you're up next. You got two overall.
I'm just gonna go with my favorite. I love Inglourious Basterds. I think Inglourious Basterds is a great movie. So many like, it's not like a traditional. It's not like a real necessarily story, right?
Or is no.
No, Hitler did not get realistic. Killed.
Well, not the ending, but just through that group.
Yeah, you don't think Hitler died in a movie?
No, like, was there? I feel like I've seen like an Amazon Prime documentary like called The Real Inglourious.
Oh,
Basterds.
I'm sure there was something
like commando groups
loosely.
And stuff.
Yeah.
So is Hans Landa a real person though?
I don't think so. No.
Great
character though.
Well, great character.
Top 10 villain in any movie.
Oh yeah.
Could be number one.
The speech with the milk farmer with the rat versus squirrel.
One of the best openings of any movie.
Yeah, I love.
It's his first movie too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
First American movie at least. Yeah. Fucking killed it. Wow.
Yeah. So I think I love that movie. Like Brad Pitt in it too. Mm-hmm. His speech at like the introducing the Basterds with like.
Now I want my scale.
That was the trailer. Yeah.
Oh, it was a great. Yeah, it was a great scene.
I thought he was a little overboard in it.
That's the
but
thing
that's
I like
the movie
about
at the same
that.
Time.
Yeah. That'd be my only gripe about Inglourious Basterds, and it's a Tarantino gripe that I
have. It's a Tarantino thing.
There's
for
way
sure,
too
yeah.
much sensationalism at the end of it.
Yeah.
I don't need in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood Brad Pitt shove someone's face like until it melts into a fireplace. I don't
like
need
in
Django Unchained.
Pretty cool.
I love it. He kills 60
guys. I get what you're saying though.
Django Unchained was like a perfect movie till the end for me.
I thought so too, yeah.
When they start doing horse tricks and shit at the end of it.
What are we doing?
Yeah,
I love the over. That's like something I think you sign up for Tarantino movies for.
Well,
so you
now,
go to yeah,
yeah. There's a scene in Django Unchained. It's at the end when he's shooting the entire fucking world up, and he shoots the it's a sister that he like makes that Leo makes up with Monsieur Candy, and she flies like to the side when he shoots her.
He was
like, if anything, she's gonna go backwards, not like a 90-degree angle.
It's still just funny. I fucking can't help myself.
Well, like that like literal death made me laugh.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I know.
But I feel like
his ending sometimes he should just be like released later as
and that's not even the like ending. There's like a whole thing after that.
Yeah.
There is a bit after that.
But Inglourious Basterds. With Tarantino. When Tarantino blows up.
The pub scene in Inglourious Basterds I think is so fucking good too. Where it's like
Fassbender.
Yeah. That scene was so cool. Yep. Like I think the ending is arguably like it's very very cool. The ending scene, but I think everything up to the ending was the best of the movie.
I'm like,
and then that's the pub scene where it, like you want to talk where one of the criticisms was of Operation Mincemeat was not intense. That pub scene when they're like everyone's like figuring out they got guns.
Yeah,
everyone's got guns on each other. Like holy fuck.
Fucking man. What's the guy that like the German that the prisoner that they boosted? His name is not Hans. It's a. Heinrich something, but he's sitting there and he's like, because I have a pistol aimed at your Nazi balls.
He's like, I have for the last 10 minutes.
Dude. Yes, exactly. Dude, it's so goddamn good. What a
great
movie.
You know what's weird about that movie is it actually only has like six scenes. Like, it's like six 20-minute vignettes. And that movie flies by. It's almost 3 hours and it just rolls.
It is?
Yeah, it's pretty
close. It's 2.5 plus.
Wow.
Yeah.
The scene where he carves the fucking the thing into Hans Landa's head at the end.
Yeah.
We don't like that.
Might just be my
we
masterpiece.
Want our Nazis
and Christoph
in uniform.
Waltz, one of the absolute best actors on planet Earth.
He was so good in that movie. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was unreal. Yeah. Chris, you got next.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sticking World War II era, and much like Smitty, I'm sticking with Spielberg. I'm going Schindler's List. I know it's not.
So we talked. Me and Smitty talked about this.
Yeah. Oh wait. Oh, did you talk? Okay. Are you saying it's not a war movie?
Or so we talked about this before.
I wouldn't qualify.
I wouldn't. It's
so
not.
Here's where we talked about it before we did the pod, me and Smitty, and we were saying, because he's like, yeah, Schindler's List should be on there. And I looked at on movierankings.net, it is considered a war movie, but like it's more like a movie that takes place within a micro terrain or micro ecosystem of a war. You know what I mean? It's not about a war. It's about genocide.
To me, that's about the Holocaust, not about the war.
That's fine. I'll pivot then.
Okay.
Apocalypse Now. I mean, probably.
I just watched it like a month ago.
One of the most famous movies of all time. One of the most famous, like, behind the scenes. Like, that movie was such a shit show to make.
Yeah.
And it turned out as good as it did. I mean, so many movies have ripped off, like, the score and just the way that thing is filmed and just how just raw that movie feels when you're watching it. Like, it feels so authentic. It was Coppola in his prime. So, Apocalypse Now.
I would say that the Vietnam movies that the movies that depict Vietnam are way grittier, better, more real than the movies about war on terror, Iraq wars. Like
yeah,
I just think
sure.
there it seems like holy fuck, like I can't believe that happened. Where these ones are kind of Star Spangled Bannerified a little bit, where those ones weren't.
Absolutely, and like these ones definitely get it more into the like well, what the fuck are we doing here? Because, like, yeah. you're in World War – yeah, you're here to fight the Nazis. Like, yeah.
It's very defined good and evil.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Very black and white, but in mm-hmm. Vietnam, they definitely get more into the gray, especially in Apocalypse Now, which probably is one of the first movies to really do that.
It would have had to be.
Yep. Yeah. And then I would say that that's my big criticism. It's like, you could probably have that same – like with the war in Iraq, like, what are we doing here? And like, none of the movies really kind of take that angle, I feel like.
It's very, very rarely. Yeah. Like, even, like, American Sniper was definitely, like, I feel like a very declarative anti-war movie, but they made it into, like, I feel like people watch that movie and get pro-war.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
so weird. It's a bizarre experience.
You watch, right, and you watch a movie, you get more pro-war, and nothing is told from the side of, like, the Iraqis, and where the way I feel like the Vietnam ones kind of show that.
True. People aren't able to think for themselves. It's like, Reagan trying to use Born USA as a patriots.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
That's probably the most like anti.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a great pick. So many great scenes in that movie. Marlon Brando right at the end.
Yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne at
is that
like
his
17.
Last movie?
No.
He had some famous last movie, didn't he?
He was in the Score was his last movie.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was one
that was late. I mean, he was in Island of Fucking Dr. Monroe. That's a shit piece.
Yeah. He was on a couple more after that.
Another famous behind the scenes shit shows. Yeah.
Harrison Ford though. Nice cameo.
Yeah, Harrison Ford, small bit, Martin Sheen, James Caan. I feel like I'm missing a couple random. Like that's another movie which has like a lot of randoms.
Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall, not James Caan. Yeah,
awesome.
Different Godfather actor.
Yeah.
But yeah, Apocalypse Now, great pick. For my pick, I think I'm going to go with 1917.
So fucking good.
Haven't
God
seen it
damn
yet.
It, that's a good movie,
1917,
dude.
This is a movie all presented in one take, which I'm a sucker for long takes. You have a shot that lasts longer than like 2 minutes without breaking to an edit. Like, I'm all about it.
Dude, True Detective season one.
Yep.
The project scene, it's like the best scene in television history, I think.
Yes, so good.
Unbelievable.
It's very, very good. I love World War One. My favorite war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it sounds crazy, but it's like that's my favorite war. I wish we had way more World War One content.
Agreed.
And so when I remember, like, I've done like books and documentaries, and like I've just been obsessed with that war. The Paris 1919 is like an unbelievable book about like the peace conference that like restitched up the world. So when that movie came up, like the trailers, and I was like, fuck yeah, like here we go. And it just, like, I just need more. I need more of those types of movies.
I mean, there aren't a lot of, there isn't a lot of World War One content.
There isn't.
Was War Horse, that was World War One.
But it's like,
and that was also, not one of the better Spielbergs.
That's the third time someone's talked to me about War Horse in the last 24 hours. It's the most War Horse content I've ever named bubbleness. Because, like, I was at a bar yesterday, and they had, like, these, like, little boxes full of trivia cards. And my girlfriend was giving me some, and she's like, what's this movie about World War One and a horse? I'm like, War Horse? And then Vibbs comes up to me and tells me this morning about how he watched War Horse. Now you reference War Horse. Can't fucking get, it's too much War Horse content.
Spielberg needed it to be dialed in on a different
side. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Ken Jack, what do you...
Why isn't there a Rasputin movie out yet? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Well, actually, the
Anastasia,
last...
dude.
The last World War One movie that just recently came out, The King's Man, Rasputin, is, like, the main antagonist in that. And that also takes place to World War One.
Would you... I know you loved Parasite.
Yeah.
And that was your favorite movie that year. Do you think Mendes should have won Best Director for... 17.
So I think the right people won the awards for that. So like Deakins won for cinematography.
Yes.
And Roger Deakins is a guy, he's made probably like I'll name his movies that he's been the cinematographer on, and you probably love every single one of them.
Okay.
It's insane.
Recently, I mean, just recently you had 1917, Blade Runner 2049, Skyfall.
Let's go down the list. Fargo.
Yeah.
No Country for Old Men. True Grit. The Big Lebowski. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Blade Runner 2049, Sicario, 1917, Jarhead, Skyfall, Revolutionary Road, Shawshank Redemption, A Beautiful Mind. Jesus. Like it's
the only movie I don't like of those. What, name them again?
a lot of them.
No, Jarhead. I didn't like Jarhead.
Jarhead. That was Sam Mendes, who also directed 1917.
You didn't like Jarhead?
I don't like
Sam
Jarhead.
Mendes did Jarhead.
Yeah.
I thought Jarhead was really good.
Very, very soon after that. Yeah.
Yeah, huh.
Which is not Iraq War, but that was Desert Storm.
Desert Storm.
But yeah, 1917. I agree with what you're saying. Like, there's an overflow of World War II movies, games, all that shit. There's like nothing about World War One, which is why I was psyched up about 1917. We got to interview, I think his name is Harry Dean Chapman, who was one of the main characters in that. He was really cool. He's the kid who played King Tommen in Game of Thrones. He's one of the main characters in that. All the actors in it were awesome. Benedict Cumberbatch in a limited role, really good in that.
Yep.
The guy,
very limited.
George MacKay is that?
He's the main character in that. But a lot of the side characters are all really good too.
Richard Madden showed up for half a second.
Yeah, at the end of it. But incredible ending that mirrors the movie, kind of mirrors itself, which is really I always love that. This movie starts out with a guy sitting in front of a tree, like laying down. Then they start the mission. End of the movie, he's fucking exhausted. He goes and he sits down in a tree and goes to sleep. I love that.
Yeah.
Little mirror moment. All right, White Sox Dave, you're up.
So, I'm going with a Ridley Scott film. I did not know he did all these, but I love each of them.
I know which one you're picking.
Black Hawk Down.
Yep.
I love that fucking movie. One of my favorite war movies ever.
That's another one.
I might
one.
Have taken a 1-1. It would have been between that and Saving Private Ryan. Wow.
Crazy stacked cast.
Crazy stacked.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor. Orlando Bloom's in it for like a minute.
2 seconds, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who else we got?
Josh Hartnett?
Yeah, Tom Sizemore. He's in like all the war
Jason
movies.
Jason Isaacs, who we were talking about before. Let's see. Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy's in it for a minute. That's
Nikolai Coster-Waldau, who plays Jamie Lannister.
In Thrones, yep.
Ty Burrell from Modern Family. Orlando Bloom, like you mentioned. Jeremy Piven.
Yeah, he's the helicopter pilot. Yep.
Eric Bana, who played the Hulk.
Is Josh Hartnett in that one?
Yeah, Josh Hartnett is the main guy.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Ewan McGregor. William
he
kind of
just bowed out of acting.
He's coming back.
That,
he's going to be in a new Nolan film. He's going to be in Oppenheimer.
He's in
that.
Two Guy Ritchie movies recently, too. Yeah. Tom Sizemore. We always love this guy at LCB. Ian Gruffudd, who played Mr. Fantastic in Fantastic Four. And what else are we missing? Jason Isaacs, we mentioned before, Josh Hartnett, and Sam Shepard, too. One of the all-time playwrights in that. I forgot about that.
So Eric Bana, he's my favorite character.
Just Bana. He's not Spanish. He's Australian.
Bana. Yeah. Bana. Eric Bana.
You had Seinfeld on the brain.
Probably. Yeah. The Freudian slip a little bit. A little different genres there. But just how, like, he's just war-hungry, but he doesn't care at the same time. He's like, I'm just here. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Great moments he does. Like, this is my safety with his finger. Like, a lot of cool moments with him in that movie.
At the very end, he's just sitting there. He's like, dude, I don't give a fuck about any of this. Like, I'm here to do a job.
Yeah.
That's it.
Really well-shot war scenes in that. Really makes you feel, like, because, like, that operation, like, the way they depict it, it's very claustrophobic. You feel claustrophobic when you're watching it. Like, the scene where they lose the guy's artery in his leg.
Yeah, and they're pulling it out. Yeah.
It's fucking brutal.
He's like, tell my mom I fought hard today. Tell her I fought strong. And they're like, you're going to tell her yourself. And
Or just the dude that can't hear.
Yeah, that's right. Forgot about that. But, yeah, and what's his name? Breaking off his cast. Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, he's out there. He's like, you can't go. He's like, starts cutting it off. He's like, all right. Yeah, just go.
All right, you have back-to-back.
Back-to-back for the wraparound. Then I'll go with Platoon.
Great pick. Great pick.
Just watched that recently, winner. Too. Mm-hmm. Probably about 6-8 weeks ago.
We interviewed, what's his name, Oliver,
Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone for that. Or not for that, but we interviewed him for a book that he wrote. And we had to talk to him a lot about Platoon because he was a Vietnam vet, and that's kind of what he wrote.
It's based on his experiences.
Yeah, it's based on his experiences.
Did not know that.
Very, very cool. Great movie. All time. That's one of the great cinematic moments that's like memed and everything is the fucking William Dafoe doing the getting shot. Yeah, that's a good pick.
This fucking cast is before any.
Tom Berenger.
Forrest Whitaker, Kevin Dillon, Matt Dillon's
Keith
brother,
David.
Johnny Drama, William Dafoe, Tom Berenger,
great.
Johnny Depp was in it for a minute.
John C. McGinley, that's right. Dr. Cox.
He's been in the news a little bit lately, I think.
I think that's Keith David in that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Martin Sheen, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And who am I missing? There's a couple other. That's another one with a retroactively stacked cast, like you were saying. Really, really weird. But great movie. Great ending. All right. We're back around to me. I think for mine, I will also do Vietnam, but I will do Full Metal Jacket. Full Metal Jacket, I think, is absolutely phenomenally well-made movie.
Could have been 1-1 overall.
It could have, easily gone 1-1, and I think that it is just—it's a fantastic movie that does, I think, a really good job of showing the sort of human experience. And this is what we're talking about with Apocalypse Now. Not a lot of movies get down to the nitty gritty of what the soldiers had to do and all that shit, and how a lot of them were just fucking bored and like didn't know what to do when their time off and all that shit. I think that was cool. Obviously, the Ari Lermy intro scene, iconic.
So he was just a consultant for that movie. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and then they brought him
on. He was so good at like acting like he was a badass drill sergeant that they're like, all right, whoever was originally cast is like, you're fired. Mm-hmm. You're the lead in this movie.
Yeah.
I love the part up until they go to war. Like the whole movie up until that. Then yeah. I'm just like, ah.
And that's Adam Baldwin or whatever. With yeah. like the fucking, he has like the M60 trying to like lug it up and mow those guys. Oh, it's crazy.
What did the kid, he was a journalist and he like yeah. is so disgusted when he reads it off. He's like, journalist, yeah. what the fuck are we talking about?
Yes, exactly. That's so funny.
That wanted infantry or whatever. The, yeah. Arlie Ermey.
God damn. I was just tweeting out the other day. Did you guys ever watch Mail Call growing
yeah.
up?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No. It just came to Prime Video. Mm-hmm. And I watched like five episodes.
He just passed away, right?
He passed probably like five, 6 years ago.
Was it that long ago already?
Yeah.
I thought it was with...
Time's flying.
It goes fast with celebrity deaths.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, he died 15 years ago already. It yeah. seemed like a couple years ago, you know?
Yeah, he was... And he was in a lot of other good movies, too. You ever seen Saving Silverman?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So good in that movie.
Yep.
God yeah. damn it. That's yeah. that movie, right? No. That was
he throws the
I know. Yeah.
Skewers the guy, but yeah. I think his whole scene. Obviously, Vincent D'Onofrio in that yeah. too. We were lucky enough to interview a while back. Was very. It was
Private
awesome.
Pile.
Yeah, Private Pile. Fucking jelly donut in his locker. All right, Chris, you're up.
I'm surprised this one hasn't been taken yet. The Deer Hunter.
That was,
yeah. Best Picture winner. I know. I wasn't on, but I looked at the rundown. I know you guys talked about Christopher Walken. Mm-hmm. Earlier, yep. And it's like Christopher Walken became a meme like in the yeah. 2000s, but people forget this guy was like a heavyweight, like Academy Award winning caliber actor for a large majority of his career. And he's like, obviously, the Russian roulette scene is like a famous, like fucked up movie scene.
Yeah.
It's
insane. The most powerful scene in movie history.
It might be. I mean, yeah. it's such a hard watch, but like, I'm sure there were Vietnam movies, obviously, before this, but I think this was like the first one that really captured, like, you know,
the PTSD aspect.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. You could argue it was really ahead of its time because that was something that didn't Definitely. Become like a mainstream thing until later. Uh-huh. And just powerhouse acting all around.
That was
so, yeah.
John Cazale, and John Cazale sneakily one of the best pound for pound actors in movie history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was in like he had like a 5 year stretch,
Godfather,
right?
Godfather 2,
Carlito's Way.
Yeah.
Was it Carlito's Way, Deer Hunter,
and Dog Day Afternoon.
And all five of them, they were nominated for like 80 combined of Oscars mm-hmm. or something like
Damn.
That. And then he passed away. Yeah. He also was dating Meryl Streep, I think, at the time, which is crazy. That dude was a monster. But yeah, great pick.
Thank you.
Deer Hunter. All right, Chief, you're back up.
I'm back up, huh? I'll go with... can I take Band of Brothers?
No, this is movies only. You know, I would have taken Band of Brothers already.
I asked a question. I thought it was worth asking.
Can I take Dwight D. Eisenhower? Can I take Patton?
Throw it out there.
I am going to take Patton.
Yeah.
I'm taking Patton.
You're
so
welcome.
This is a little bit of a sentimental one for me. It's like my grandfather had, like I've talked about this on other shows, he had Alzheimer's very bad, and we would go see him a lot when he was getting bad, and he would like, you have to watch this movie, and it was like the same four or five movies over and over. Patton was one of them. The intro, the speech with him with the American flag behind him, all-time speech. I used to like listen to that before like football and hockey games.
Oh yeah,
like that was Americans love to fight. So I love that movie. I think the score is sensational in that movie. Good. You know, it does a good job of telling the story that Dave told us earlier about how the American forces teamed up with the British, Monty and Patton going into Sicily, all part of Operation Mincemeat, of course. So I thought it was a very good depiction of a very important person in the American war effort in American history. So
and George G. Scott was perfect.
I think he
perfect
won.
Fit. He, yeah, won he won and he yeah. refused
yeah.
to go.
Yeah.
He said, I don't want to go to the meat parade and refused to go to the Oscar.
Love that even
what a
more.
Guy.
Never heard that story.
More of
yeah.
that, please.
Yes. Can you like? And that was 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
That was like, what, 1971 that movie came out? Something
yeah,
like that?
Mid
71, 74.
Something like that.
And it is like one of those things where I feel like kids today, like the battle scenes are so bad.
They're
like,
terrible.
They're terrible.
But they're but using, just, like, real tanks and shit, too, because, like, they still had those surplus, which is crazy. Like, Shermans and shit
but
everywhere.
Like, guys, like, you hear an explosion, guys, like, jump. You know, it's just, it doesn't look like.
They do the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah.
And everything.
So, it's got so many, like, Patton just has so many lines. Like, that scene where he first kind of gets to Northern Africa, and I think maybe they lost one battle, and he's like, no, the battle was here. I can smell a battle. And it was talking about, like, the Romans against the Carthaginians. And then, I read your book.
I read your book,
Rommel, you magnificent bastard. I read
Such
your
a great
book.
Line.
So there's so many, like, qu- quotable moments, at least for me. But I love that movie. Great movie. Long movie.
Long,
but,
for sure.
But yeah. Very good. Yeah. I think it's one of those, like, it was definitely a double video of each VHS.
That had to be on two VHS for sure. All right, Smitty, you're up.
Every pick taken would have been my number two pick besides Black Hawk Down. Would have saved that. I know I'm going to get heat for it, but I'm just going to do it. Braveheart.
Okay, like, that is...
It was on my list.
It's a war movie.
It's a war movie.
Well, it's absolutely a war
movie. Yeah, it is. No, it is. It's just like, it's the first one on here that's not in the gun era, which is going to make you think for a second.
And
but,
non-American.
Yeah, and also non-American.
And pretty much blatantly unrealistic.
Yes, it's the most untrue movie ever made.
It's a great movie.
William Wallace is the most overrated hero of all time.
Robert the Bruce, the most underrated.
Yeah.
He's the, like, he was Braveheart.
Right.
Like, he was the one that gave the name Braveheart to, and they fucking slandered the fuck out of him in Braveheart.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. Best
picture winner.
It's
like
that scene where he's like, no, William Wallace is 7 feet tall, and he shoots, you know, thunderbolts from and bolts of lightning from his ass. That's really what the movie did.
Yeah.
like the movie just actually made him into this mythological figure that just didn't exist. So,
I mean, talk about rewatchability.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gotta be. Yeah.
That's on Netflix right now.
That's on TV. I watch it anytime it's on. And that's one where, like, you watched. I remember when I watched it as a kid, it was like the very censored version. And then I watched it as an adult. And, like, the scene where he crushes that guy's face with a mace and just like
awesome.
Yeah. Mel Gibson directs violence, I think, better than any director. Like, and there's another movie I might bring up later. That
It's on my list.
Is it, it gets insanely good the second heads start blowing up. Yeah.
Juice hits aside, Mel Gibson.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But he was, I think, at the top of his game in that too, and like all those. But his speech to the troops before that first battle, and then also I think his ending scene with him getting guts torn out, drawn and quartered and shit. Crazy good. And also, I think his betrayal scene where he takes off the helmet of Robert the Bruce, like that scene.
Very powerful.
It crushes me every time I watch it. Every time I watch it, I'm like, maybe this time they'll win the battle. Maybe this time the Scots are going to win. And nope.
See, that's why I took it. For me, the war aspect of it, maybe not the most realistic thing, but it's just a fucking great movie.
And it is like kind of just, that's a story as old as time where it's like the people, there's like a populist movement. The power players in charge, they don't really care, but they want to show that they're supporting it. But really, behind closed doors, they're just doing shady shit for their own personal interests. Like, you can apply that theme throughout basically any era of human history.
And my next pick, we get five picks.
Oh, but I do want to mention, too, the guy who played Longshanks, awesome.
He was awesome.
Great villain. Yep. And that's how you could tell this is a Mel Gibson movie, was that part of the punchline of that character is that he had a gay son. It's like, look how much it sucks for this guy. Son's gay. It's like, I know you directed this, Mel Gibson.
With Scots. Full of Scots.
Yes, great line,
that's
too.
Let's breed him out.
Yeah, prima nocta scene.
Yeah.
Thrown in any casual conversation.
Oh, and we almost forgot Stephen, the Irish guy.
Oh, yeah.
Great guy. Yeah.
Talk to God. Talk to the Almighty.
Yeah, I talked to him. He said he's going to get me out of this mess. But
you're fucked.
You're fucked.
It's mine. Yep. It's my island.
My island.
My island.
Five picks overall, right?
Yes.
This next one, it probably should be picked later, but I love this movie so much. We're going to America, White Sox Dave. Do you know what I'm going to say?
I know what you're picking.
You're not going to double dip with Mel Gibson, are you?
What do you think I'm picking?
Yeah, you're picking the Patriot.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. Are you fucking kidding me?
But you said you're going to America and double-dipping.
Right. Glory.
Okay, great movie. Great movie.
Yeah, no, that's not surprising. That's a great movie.
They made us watch that in school. I can't believe it.
Yeah, yeah. I watched that in school like three different times, I think.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman, Denzel, best picture.
Andre Brower.
Yep. I mean, everything topped it down. We won't talk about how unrealistic Braveheart was. Glory is that much realistic.
Yes, exactly.
In terms of everything that comes to it. My only gripe about Glory is, and it might be like one of my top movies of all time if this wasn't the case, is the casting of Ferris Bueller and Robert Men in Tights.
Broderick.
He's kind of a shitty actor.
Not a good actor.
He's good as Ferris Bueller, and like that's it.
I kind of feel like
Chicago legend, to be fair.
Yeah, I do kind of feel like him playing this guy who had to like the little dink who had to live up to his father. Like he experience. Like
that fits.
I'm not saying he didn't do an okay job. I'm saying you put somebody else in that role as well as Carrie.
So you're saying he's typecast a little bit?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say. No, I'd say it was a miscast.
Yeah, yeah. He's also surrounded by legends too. When you when you got to act with Denzel and Morgan
Freeman. Not at that time though.
But I feel like him being a guy that's like. Like I kind of thought he was fine. Like I thought that was.
I thought he was fine.
Like, I don't think if you had like
could have been better.
Like exactly. an alpha type lead.
I would say even an alpha, just a better actor.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Like, there's two spots.
But I'm trying to think of somebody who I'm like, like that would have been a good replacement for him, and I'm struggling to. Off the top of my head.
At the time, like okay, you put Tom Cruise in there, probably a little too much.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's got to be somebody out there.
Maybe.
Like, I think that's a movie. The only thing I could say against it is the only thing I remember about it is the ending, like, battle. The actual battle. It's the only thing I remember about it, which is great. But that's the only part
so
I can remember.
I remember. Maybe I've seen it more than you, but it's, like, that scene where they're, like, because they're still, like, yeah, like, they're this, you know, all African-American free slave unit. But then they're run by, like, the racism that's still there, where it's like, hey, like, we're just going to use them to, like, clear fields.
Cannon fodder.
Yeah. And then... You know, and then it's like, yeah, let him go ransack that village. Like, let, you know, so it was just like.
If I was a history teacher, it would be my role in the cart.
Yes, yeah. TV cart for sure.
That's a good
great
one.
Great ending scene where, like, they have that orchestra kind of, like, blast up while they, like, start charging the fort and they run right into the cannon.
Mm-hmm. Fort Wagner.
Yeah, Fort Wagner, yeah. Great, great scene. All right, Chief, you're back up.
I'm taking Dunkirk. I think it was a very good movie.
I was gonna bet if you didn't get it.
And it is my favorite story, like actual thing that happened of World War II, where it's like, you know what, let's just send the civilians with their fucking boats or their fishing boats and their yachts to rescue what's left of our army, and that's our best idea. And it was like a desperate ploy, and it worked, and you know, saved the world. And so I love that story. I thought like that opening scene, which was like just silence and then the gunshots, like there's not much dialogue, but you don't necessarily miss it.
You never even see a Nazi's face in that movie. It's crazy. Yeah, they're like the boogie. They're like the boogeyman in the movie, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then
that's intentional. I started watching it probably about a month ago at like 2 a.m. when I was shit faced drunk.
Yeah, that's a tough one to watch.
Yeah, and it didn't work, so I got to go back and redo it. So
part of it is I don't know if it's like critically acclaimed or not.
Dunkirk is.
It got nominated for Best Picture. I know Nolan got nominated.
A couple technical things too, I think.
Yeah,
a lot. So yes, the sound in that.
The sound was and great story and then you know Hardy was a fighter pilot, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, his acting with just his eyeballs was fucking incredible, and so the whole to me like I thought that was a perfect movie about one of my. Because I would have been highly critical of it if they got that story
wrong
because I love that story so much. But I thought they did a good job with it, and I thought it was a great movie.
Cillian Murphy in that movie, too. Pretty
funny. Yeah. That's right.
Barry Cogan's in there, too.
Barry Cogan's in it. He gets killed. He's the kid that gets killed. Yeah.
Harry Styles.
Harry Styles, Mark Rylance, a couple other good guys. That
I thought Harry Styles was very good.
He's a good actor, actually. Yeah.
He has that movie coming out soon. Was it Don't Worry, Darling? Right? Yeah. With Olivia Wilde? Mm-hmm. I'm very excited
for that.
Great
with that movie, even though it was historically accurate and the acting's great. It's Christopher Nolan has a tendency to be, like, cheesy at times.
For sure.
Like,
he's very sentimental at some points.
Well, yeah, and, like, that's, like, at the end, like, Kenneth Branagh, he's just like, are you coming with me? And he's like, we're staying for the French. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you didn't say that. No. Like,
yeah.
In that way.
That's fair. Interstellar's a lot like that, too, where, like, and I love Interstellar, but it gets... really fucking cornball with him and his daughter near the end of that.
I love that scene where they're first leaving the docks. They're like, do you know where we're going? He goes, yes, sir, I do. He's like, we're going to war, George. Like, we're going, like this old guy was like, I'm taking my day sailor across the channel for our boys.
Cillian Murphy is just good in everything he does.
Murphy. We're correcting.
Are you sure?
It's the Irish name, Killian.
Are you sure the person you're
saying? I might take a Killian Murphy movie next.
I think I know which one you're thinking of, but I'm not going to say it.
Okay. Have you seen it?
As I say, you're in tough shit, bro. I'm getting a call from someone in the middle of the dozen tournament, but they're calling me while we're in the middle of recording, so should have asked ahead of time.
Really?
Yeah. Chris, you're up.
Surprised this hasn't been picked yet. I think one of the best movies of the 21st century, The Hurt Locker. Just so fucking tense. And I mean, that movie, the way they just rev up the tension in that first half with the bomb defusing sequences. And really, you know, there's so many great World War II movies. There's so many great Vietnam movies. most Iraq war movies kind of stink. They're really, really preachy. And so many of them were made in the late 2000s, like right, like pre Obama, right near the end of the Bush administration, where you had stuff like Lions for Lambs. Mm-hmm. You had that movie The Kingdom, which was okay, but like none of them ever really.
I liked The Kingdom.
It was okay. It was that was one of the better. That was one of the better ones. But
that just shows you
it wasn't as good as it thought it was. Yeah, and a lot of them, you got to the end, it was just like war sucks, war sucks, war sucks. Yeah. Like we know. But with The Hurt Locker, you really did a character study with these guys, and the fact that Jeremy Renner's character, they really stepped. This guy's really fucked up. Like I mean,
super
it,
fucked.
Yeah, and by the end, like
loves it.
He's addicted.
He's a total fucking adrenaline junkie. And but by the end when. Brian Garrity, I think is the name of the actor, is just like, dude, fuck you. Like, you're going to get us all killed just because you want to get
he's getting carted off.
Right. He's like, you want to get your fucking adrenaline fixed. Like, go fuck yourself. Yeah. So that's really – it's a fascinating study in the fact that it avoids the preachiness that plagued so many Iraq war movies. It just tells a story.
Was Brian Garrity
the least political
easily
of those?
Oh, no. Yeah. There's like – no. Yeah.
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 Is Brian Garrity the one where he – so they had the tank or whatever down there. And he's like, oh, shit, I forgot my gloves, just to, like, fuck with them. And he has the trigger, and he's like, if he pushed a button, he'd be blown to
sleep. There's literally a moment in that movie where he's like, I could kill this motherfucker, and we'd probably get away with it. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Just friendly fire.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been tough. Okay, for my pick, let's do – this is very tough because, like, there's movies that, like, I want on my list and other ones that I think are significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with
your
movie.
Heart.
I know. I'm going to go with my heart here, and I'm going to say Das Boot. Boot.
Never seen it.
Greatest war movies ever made. But a German U-boat captain. Fantastic movie. It's from, like, the
– early 80s.
I think even before that.
Was it?
I was going to say 70s.
Okay.
But, yeah, something like that. But it's a fantastic movie. It's one my dad forced me to watch. And he's like, yeah, you just got to watch it with the subtitles. And I was like, fuck that. I don't want to read while
I'm... watching anything. It's got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, it's an incredible movie. It's like...
I've never even heard of it, to be honest.
It's an incredible...
I've heard of it. I've never seen it, though.
Yeah, Wolfgang Petersen.
Yeah. It's it's all about like this U-boat team or U-boat crew and their captain. And like it's super fucking claustrophobic. So like you feel every bit of claustrophobia that they're feeling in the movie. And like really, really good action for whatever that's worth. Because like they weren't shooting good submarine action in Germany in the 70s. And a lot of really, really good acting. This main guy, I think his name is Jürgen something, like Proschau or something like that. He's been in a couple things.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the most recent thing I can remember him being in is actually his Beer Fest. Like, I think he was the main German guy in Beer Fest, right? Like the guy.
I haven't seen Beer Fest. I just find the juxtaposition between those movies to be
that
funny.
Beer Fest I can remember, and he was also Duke Atreides in the original Dune movie.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah. And a couple other things. But Das Boot, we don't have to talk long on that because I know you guys haven't seen it, but it is fantastic.
I'm going to have to check this out.
I will check it out.
What's great, it? I mean, these reviews are absurd.
It's one of the best war movies ever made.
MovieRankings.net.
I would imagine I'm in the high 90s for that.
So you know what I use that for more than anything?
What's that?
Is to find out what it's streaming on.
It's
like such a convenient
website.
You gave
it a 96.
Yeah,
the fans gave it a 95.
Yeah. That's I think it's just one of the best war movies ever made. But White Sox, Dave, you have back-to-back.
All right, back-to-back. I'm going to go with Lone Survivor.
A good pick.
Mm-hmm. I fucking hate Wahlberg. I think he sucks. But he's always in good movies.
Yeah.
You just mentioned how much you hate The Happening.
Well, that's just
a movie Mark Wahlberg stars.
That's the exception to the rule.
Fair.
That movie is the worst movie I've ever seen.
It
is so bad that I'll always watch it if it's on TV because it's like laugh out loud funny.
You like hot dogs, don't you, Dan?
Is this
that's like from fucking Happening with the guy?
Yeah,
that,
he does.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, you know, hot dogs got a good shape. They got protein. You don't remember?
Remember that part.
I've watched that thing front
to
back.
It's like Chief said. It's like I'll watch it to a commercial. I've seen it start to finish multiple times, but like. When what's the John Leguizamo?
Yeah,
is that,
yeah.
And he just starts cutting his wrist. So I'm like, what are you?
Yeah,
doing? They're driving through, and the wind's blowing. They're like,
when they're trying to outrun.
But
the
we're
wind.
Not drafting The Happening.
We're not Lone Survivor.
We're drafting Lone Survivor.
That guy,
Wahlberg,
Taylor Kitsch, I think, is outstanding in. I love Emile Hirsch.
Hot dude.
Ben Foster, you're burying the leader. Ben Foster, one of the best actors probably in the world. He is so fucking good.
Wow.
He plays Foster.
And he's the red-haired guy in the movie. He's if you've ever seen Hell or High Water, he's in that. He's in, what's it, Leave No Trace.
Yeah.
He's so fucking good.
310 to Yuma. 310 to awesome Yuma. Awesome in that movie. Yeah.
A lot of other ones as well. Great psychopath actor.
How I got to see this movie the first time, came out like 2013 or 14, I think. White Sox Dave got himself somehow a bootlegged version of it, and it would say, like, not for distribution or whatever. You got, like, a screener someone sent
it. Did I?
Yeah, and then you emailed it. It was, like, right after I met you. He's like, do you want this? And I'm like, is this going to give me a virus? Am I going to get in trouble for this? He's like, I don't know. Sent it. Hooked the computer up to the TV, and away we went.
I had a cousin that went overseas.
He's been scheming and scamming from day one.
She would get bootlegged when I was in college. Like, I saw The Dark Knight. Maybe the week that it came out, and I had it on DVD because you could get bootleg versions of whatever in Iraq, and she would just send it to me. I'd pay her $50 for, like, dozens of DVDs.
That's why I saw Taken for the first time. Mm-hmm. I got a European copy of it, like, 2 years before it came out in the U.S.
Wild, which, right?
That was weird. Didn't that open overseas, like, almost a full year before it came out?
Yeah, it was, like, a crazy amount.
Because on IMDb, it's listed as a 2008 movie.
Yeah.
And it didn't come out in America till, like, January.
My uncle had sent it to me from Iraq, I think, and, like, I watched it, and I was like, this is one of the coolest movies I've ever seen. And then the American version that came out in studios was, like, very cut down and very, like, a lot of the more violent parts were cut out, which kind of sucked.
Yeah.
Lone Survivor, great movie, though, and also...
That's fucking an intense movie.
Yeah.
Very intense.
Start to finish.
That guy, I think it's Ryan Murphy, he's from a few towns over from me.
Really?
Okay, there you go.
They're big on
him. Jersey, like, right?
Long Island.
Long Island, okay. Yeah, that scene where they're... When you're talking about intensity, where they're trying to decide what to do, and it's like, let's just fucking schwack them.
He's like, just
and then what? And then what? Yeah. You know, like, what do you do?
It's like, just unrelenting. They're like, fuck it, we gotta jump off this cliff and like barrel roll down 100 yards of rocks.
There was a lot of actors that played, like, the other SEALs, right? Like,
wasn't Eric Bana in that one?
Yeah, he was.
I think Eric Bana was
in that, actually.
I think that shithead Dan Bilzerian was one of them, too.
So he was, he was... And it was because I think he got, like, a producer thing on that as well. And he was supposed to have a larger role. And they're just like, man, like, you suck. Yeah. So he has that one scene where he's in there, but I think he only has one line.
I forgot Jerry Ferrara is in it.
Jerry Ferrara?
Yeah, he was on, like, the control phone.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, send the QRF. Like, they're checking in with him. Yeah.
Alexander Ludwig, who we've interviewed before, plays Bjorn on Vikings. And I didn't know that, this guy. I feel like there was more. Scott Elroy. I don't know. I don't really know the rest of these guys, so I guess not. Shah Rukh Khan was not in it. It's like, this guy's... So Shah Rukh Khan, for those... A lot of you might not know listening, or you guys definitely don't know. He's basically the Indian Leonardo DiCaprio, except he makes, like, 50 trillion times more money than Leonardo DiCaprio.
Really?
He's, like, Bollywood. One of the richest entertainers in the entire planet in history. Hmm. He's insanely... He's, like, crazy. Pretty good actor, too.
Ben Foster's death scene in that, it's, like, the most gut-wrenching death scene.
Or he gets, popped in the head. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're, like, aiming for him, and they can't... Yeah. They keep missing him.
All right, you're
the
up
the way
again.
They did the breathing, too.
Yeah. I know.
It was Peter Berg directed that one, didn't he? Because he did a bunch in a row with Wahlberg.
You know, you can tell it's the fucking music.
It's a Friday Night Lights kind of music.
It's the same band that does both.
Explosions in the Sky.
Yeah, good movie.
That's right. Great soundtrack.
So that's 4 for me. I'm between 2 that I want to pick, and I'm going to throw the curveball now.
I think, your third.
I think,
So you have Black Hawk.
Yeah, no, this is my fourth pick coming up. So I'm down to 2. I'm just going to take it. I'm going with Starship Troopers. I fucking love that movie.
So it's like, so it's not about an actual war, but it's a fucking great
movie. No, that's a fucking war movie. Are you kidding? It's intergalactic war and all that, and it's not.
It's obviously just the propaganda shown.
It's, well, yeah.
It's war. It is. War. And
that's,
you got
Verhoeven.
Prime Denise Richards.
It does.
Prime Denise Richards. It's funny. It's just overzealous, cheesy. I love that movie.
And I feel like you definitely didn't absorb Starship Troopers the way it was supposed to be absorbed, which was as an anti-American imperialism movie.
I did not know that.
It was. It's very.
I want to overtake every country on earth.
Shove those puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Like that whole thing where it's like the hyper masculine, like you got to serve your country to be a citizen thing, and like the propaganda which goes nuts everywhere in that movie. It's kind of supposed to be a critique of like imperialism in the United States and all that shit.
Fair.
Which it's the same guy that directed RoboCop. Which you can kind of see in that too. and a couple other ones too. Paul Van Vierhoven, who is
Showgirls.
It's just an I'm not looking for all the subliminal messaging. I'm just looking to be entertained a lot of times while I'm watching a movie, and it's entertaining as shit.
That's the first time I watched that when I was younger. I was like, yeah, fuck the bugs, dude. I'm gonna go kill the bugs. Like, I'll kill the bugs.
Yeah,
it's perfect satire because you can watch it on its own,
yes,
without understanding what it's parodying or making fun of. Right, still exactly. Enjoy it just as an action.
When did that come out?
Like 98.
Okay, so I've never seen it
ish.
But like you say, primetime Denise Richards and I.
It's primetime
Denise Richards, Neil Patrick Harris.
Dean Norris is in that, right?
Busey, Busey's kid. Jake Busey.
Jake Busey's
in it. A couple other people, I think, like around the horn. What's his name? The guy who voices Mr. Krabs.
Clancy Brown.
Yeah, he's like the drill sergeant for them there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, good pick. I do think that that's a solid war movie, and it is one that subverts expectations, even though you didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Which is
I haven't seen it in a minute. When it was on VHS and shit, I would watch it like constantly when I was like 10, 12 years old. I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
All right, for my next pick, I got a lot left. I know what I want with my last pick, so I think for my second to last, I'll go a little bit further down in my rankings, and I'll pick one that I think it's definitely a war movie, but it's more of an insurgency movie, and that's Red Dawn. Red Dawn, the original Red Dawn movie, I think is absolutely incredible, and I think it does a good job of showing both, like, I think, like, of all the movies that have portrayed potential World War III, I think that did it probably, like, the best. Because, like, that in America, if you invaded America, that's what would happen. Like, you would have, like, high schoolers out in the woods with, like, 50,000 guns, like, just hunting your dudes down. And I think all that cast you talk about retroactively stacked, fucking insane in that one. Swayze, Sheen, Jennifer Grey. I'm missing a couple, too, even after all that. Harry Dean Stanton is, like, their dad in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome movie. A lot of very emotional moments. And some really good action, all things considered. For, like, that.
C. Thomas Howell is the one. Yeah, the other one.
But, like, the gunplay in that, I think, is, like, sneakily pretty good for movies that were made in the 80s. Good soundtrack, too. And just, like, We Are Wolverines, all that shit. I eat that up.
Yeah. And a crap remake.
Yeah, one of the worst remakes.
Not a good remake.
It's a shame, because you would like to see it updated, like, well.
Yeah.
And honestly, the idea of, like, Chris Hemsworth playing that main role. Yeah. Like, oh, shit, that might work. Yeah.
Are we allowed to leak picks on this show, or is that...
What do you mean, leak picks?
Like, talk about other picks that haven't been drafted
yet.
I think you can, yeah.
Okay, we'll get there. The midway pick, or a remake, was fucking horrific.
That's the worst. Yeah,
Roland Emmerich, right?
Yeah.
Was it Roland Emmerich?
Yeah.
You got the Jonas Brothers in it.
Anybody picking that one.
That movie stunk, and that's such a good story.
Josh Peck. It was one of the guys like, what the fuck made that decision? And I think in that movie, they made the entire movie and the bad guys were Chinese. The Chinese had invaded the United States. And then China was like, well, fuck no, you're never releasing this.
That's right.
And so they changed it to North Koreans.
Which is just the most unrealistic thing
possible. Yeah. They shot a majority of that movie about 10 minutes from my hometown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and then it got delayed a bunch because it was like a 2-year delay. Because I remember Hemsworth looked, they shot it before Thor.
Yeah.
And he looked, it was just noticeable how much like thinner he was before. Yeah.
Not 100% remake, but done in video game genre was Freedom Fighters.
Yeah.
And it took Red Dawn to like the next level. It's kind of like a Red Dawn remake.
We're hearing about that.
Arguably
never
one of the best video game storylines.
Interesting.
All time.
All right, Chris, you're back up.
Alluded to it earlier, Hacksaw Ridge. That was a movie that when that thing started, I'm like, this is fucking cornball, and you got he's in church
such
and it's
a
like
pussy.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, this pacifist, you know, like I don't want to say. And really, it was, you know, bringing it up with the direction, like the way the war sequences are shot. I mean, it's like a fucking horror movie. I mean, that points with that movie. And really, it's Andrew Garfield's amazing in it, and he deserved the Oscar nomination. But the ensemble cast is awesome. Like,
really
Vince Vaughn is really, really good.
It's his best movie role.
It might be, and, like, Sam Worthington shows up, and he's good. Like, everyone's committed to it, and it's this great story. And honestly, like, at the end, because even when I was watching it, I'm like, I feel like so much of this is made up. And the fact that it was pretty close to historically accurate, like, just took it one step further. Yeah, really good movie. Yeah.
I have refused to see it because I hate Andrew Garfield.
I don't know why I hate Andrew Garfield.
Why do you guys hate Andrew Garfield?
Really? What?
I hate
why?
Him.
I just don't like his face. He's
got a little bit of a ratty face.
He's got one of those faces, and I'm just like, fuck you, dude. He's in The Social Network. I hate him in that.
Oh, he's so good.
Really?
In that.
He's so great in that.
That's why I hate him.
What's the singing movie he's in?
Tick, Tick, Boom.
He's
great in
that.
I don't want to.
No, you know what you guys might like is if you like kind of stories that went under the radar, the movie Silence from Scorsese, it's him and Liam Neeson. He plays like
And Driver.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. So in that movie, he plays a Portuguese missionary, and he gets sent to Japan in like the 1600s. And then Japan like enacted a rule where like they're basically, if you're Catholic, you're getting murdered on the spot. And yeah, he was trying to like help all these Japanese Catholic communities to like either escape or like continue practicing in private. And it's like a really fucking good movie about like breaking someone's will. Mm. I'd say incredibly well made. That's Scorsese. That's like the weirdest Scorsese movie I think he's ever made. So against the grain of what he usually does. It's
didn't
insane.
He do that? Wasn't that like right after Hugo too?
Like
he
like
went,
20,
I think
yeah,
it was 20, 16. So he might have made something in between. But yeah, I think he went from so children's good. Movie to Silence.
Yeah. But yeah. So anyway,
Chief. I hate how good he speaks English. I know he's English, but like American English. His American accent. I didn't know he was after The Social Network. I didn't know he was English until he was accepting an award for it. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, this guy's fucking British. And I tweeted that.
That
a British
freaks
dude responded.
Me out.
He's like, I'm British, and I didn't know he was British.
Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. I mean, it happens with Christian Bale all the time. People didn't know Tom Wham scams. That's people all the time.
I didn't.
Christian Bale's
but
Welsh.
Like. Even but Tom, I usually get freaked out by it. Mm-hmm. But Tom Wamsgams being English, I'm like, yes,
kind of makes sense. The name, sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, well, that's just the character name. Mm-hmm. It's Tom Wamsgams in Successions. Okay. But like his whole energy is just like, yeah, you're English.
Yeah,
like, I got it.
You know, Fair Ken enough. Jack. You know, for the promotion, I just thought about this with Christian Bale. Like he was British, and you know, it still is. He hasn't changed.
Still is.
For the promotional tour for Batman Begins and all the interviews, he did it in an American accent.
That sounds
just
right.
Did all the interviews as an American and
post project method.
Yeah. Right, yeah, and then like Dark Knight, he went back to just using like his regular British accent. But for some reason, that was bizarre.
I kind of agree with that though, especially at that time, because you didn't want to freak people out.
Right, and it was right like he was gonna be a star regardless, but it was like right before like Batman was obviously where he like hit it big. I think he had some explanation of like I didn't want there to be like some disconnect with the
and
audience.
And then after Dark Knight, he earned it
For sure. Yeah.
That trash bag Massachusetts accent he has in The Fighters, I think it's awesome. One of the best ever seen in my life.
Crushed
such
that.
A good performance.
And I see the other guy, not in The Fighters.
One of, I think it might be the best performance I've ever seen in a movie.
Warrior, both those guys are
they're
English
both
and Australian.
English, yeah.
English
yeah.
and Australian. Yeah. Joel Edgerton is Australian, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
you are correct. He's Australian, yeah.
Okay, Chief, you're up.
I feel like this might get vetoed, but I want to mention it. Lincoln.
Yeah.
See, I'll allow it.
I haven't seen it.
To me, that's it. Like,
I've seen parts of it.
If you guys were like, hey, well, that's the same as Schindler's List, I would be like, okay. They do have like there's like those two parallels going along where they're trying to like end the war,
mm-hmm.
but they're trying to get the legislation passed to abolish slavery before the war really ends. So like they're going through, and he is like, you know, a wartime president.
Yeah, I think that's okay because it does encompass so much of the war, and like it's not like there's battles and shit in it, but like or like overtly too much. But
yeah, not too much. But they show some, and they show like you know. Grant, you know, like he has conversations with Grant, and then you know the opening scene I think is very powerful too.
For sure,
you know. So
I'm down with that.
Okay, so if people are good with me taking Lincoln, I'll take Lincoln. I think that is Daniel Day-Lewis is probably it's almost cliche to say it at this point, but the best.
He's as good as it gets.
Yeah. He's got to come out of retirement again, doing another one.
Sure, he will.
Yeah.
Does he do a movie every 5 years?
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's basically
what he's done.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he got to that point where he's just like, I commit so much to these, I have to take. Like, I can't be a movie star and do two movies a year.
Getting older,
which I respect because, like, he goes to like take his trash out and he gets nominated for an Oscar. Like,
exactly. Okay, Smitty, you're back up.
I'm gonna steal somebody's. I'm gonna steal somebody's shine here. Maybe more than one person, but Downfall.
Okay, I didn't expect that. I thought maybe last pick.
Well, I got one more pick.
Great meme pick.
Yeah, I mean, but not even that. It takes a lot of effort to watch with the subtitles, but it's an epic. It's a great, great movie in the way they tell the story of Hitler and his last days in his bunkers. Just from a perspective you never really seen before, and you learn a lot. The acting's...
Uh-oh.
I didn't even realize I just watched this movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just watched it.
I've never
Sorry.
Seen it.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah, you want to know why you watch it? Because we were talking about it on stream, and you started watching it like at 3 a.m. I'm like, what are you doing?
Did I? Is that why I watched it?
Yeah.
It was like very recent I watched it.
Yeah.
That sounds right then, yeah.
I didn't even realize that was the name of it. Yeah.
Fucking Hitler in subtitles.
Not really subtitles. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Very much all
German.
Yeah,
it's all subtitles.
No, and then who's the actor that played Goebbels in it?
It's a German.
That guy was fucking outstanding in it. And he his like right before Hitler committed suicide, he's like talking to his wife, Ava Braun.
Yeah.
And all that, and they're all like, they're so fucking brainwashed by this guy, like beyond brainwashed. But Goebbels specifically, I thought whoever played that,
Goebbels, and also not just like the movie doesn't take place solely in the bunker. It shows what was going on in Berlin the last few days, but between the fighting and between like the Nazis who knew like the shit was going to hit the fan soon.
And being horrified of surrendering to the Russians, too.
Yeah, and they just start partying because what else are you going to fucking do? Mm-hmm. Like,
They were just getting shit-faced.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
Just get dripped on?
I think so.
It's raining outside.
It was like a hard something. It was not like a
ceiling.
Interesting. Yeah. Ceiling's falling apart. That's cool. All right, well, what's your last pick?
Last one, if it's allowed, Good Morning Vietnam.
Why wouldn't that be allowed?
I think that's allowed,
I think it works.
Just making sure. Robin Williams, arguably one of his, I think it's top three roles easily. Definitely, again, a story that you just never really see in it. It's a good movie overall that obviously revolves around war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I think that's like, it's not what you think of in a traditional war movie, but definitely one that counts.
But I think they touch on that important theme where it's like they were over there and they had no idea who the enemy was. Mm-hmm. And it turns out the enemy was the guy that he had become like best friends with over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sneaky good cast.
Yeah.
Bruno Kirby and Forrest Whitaker.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Forrest Whitaker. A couple of these.
Was Forrest Whitaker in Platoon or Hamburger Hill? He was in
he was in Platoon.
Both? Yeah. Oh.
I haven't seen Hamburger Hill. He's in Platoon, though.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of these. And he's been in a couple other good war movies, too. Mm-hmm. All right, Good Morning Vietnam. Chief, your last pick.
Last pick.
Sweeney's going to bounce out now, but I will give you his final team. Saving Private Ryan, Braveheart, Glory, Downfall, and Good Morning Vietnam.
Rock solid.
Pretty fucking good.
I have a few that I'd like to take, but I'm picking this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're finishing on it.
Okay. I'm picking this one simply because I want to hear what you guys have to say about it. I think it's a really good movie. George Clooney, Wahlberg, Three Kinks. Yeah. I think Three Kinks.
Underrated.
I think very underrated. And Ice Cube.
Yeah.
I still do that, too.
Ice Cube. Yeah. And I think it's a very, very good movie and a unique look at what that war was all about and how that was fought. And
the scene where they stick the thing in his lung
and crazy.
Opens it up
freaks
me out every time
pump,
I watch it.
Yeah. And so I think it's a very good movie, but it's one of those things where it's like I am not like a movie critic even close. Mm-hmm. But you guys are. And I feel like
some would say.
That was David O. Russell, right?
Yeah, I think that's what I know about that movie is I think Clooney and O. Russell hated each other.
David O. Russell hates every actor he's ever worked with. It's incredible. But yeah, I think that's a really good pick. I would agree with you. Very underappreciated.
Okay.
It's weird because it's got a really high rating on Rotten Tomatoes, I think. It's got like 90. I think it's got like 97 or something. I could be wrong. But it was very well received when it came out. It's just kind
of
gotten forgotten.
It's another one of those ones that used to be on TV quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So you'd stop on it and be like, man, like this is a fucking good movie.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Chris, your last pick.
All right. Need judges. Verdict here because this movie is in the backdrop of war. Mm-hmm. Jojo Rabbit, yes or no?
So like, I feel like it violates the spirit, but at the same time, like,
I love that movie.
It's one of my all time
favorite.
Goddamn
movies. Good,
yeah.
But it's a comedy and like,
if there's a gray area, then I'll go with another one, and I'll go Fury.
Fury is great.
Last. Good, in my opinion, David Ayer movie. Yeah. That's another one that's just so tense. I love the camaraderie among the actors in that movie and just like how good Brad Pitt is and like Barenthal and Shia LaBeouf and the way that thing is shot.
Wasn't there like a big feud between Shia LaBeouf and Scott Eastwood in that movie? I feel like there was a story like they had to be separated or something. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, he's had trouble with everybody, it seems true. Like. But that's one of those movies, though, with him where like, yes, Shia LaBeouf is certified like a pain in the ass to work with, but when he commits, which he often does, he's fucking good. Like he's really good in that, and Brad Pitt is great. So and there's some really like just brutal scenes in that movie. So
was one of my favorite scenes in war movies. If we could have probably done a draft of that, just scenes in these movies.
Yeah.
But where he gives the prayer, who will go for us?
Yeah,
you know, when they're in the tank, there's a Bible verse I think about sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think that's that. And I hate Shia LaBeouf, but he and Andrew Garfield are like the guys that I hate. Like, I just irrationally like can't stand either one of them.
Everything you said about Shia LaBeouf, that's like very rational.
Mm-hmm. And I think it applies to Andrew Garfield too.
Nah, he's not a douche.
No, I've heard he's a very nice guy, yeah. But yeah. LaBeouf's just gotten in his own way.
Great fight scenes in that movie. The scene where they flank the tiger, yeah. That was really sick. Mm-hmm. The whole ending sequence with them like burying the guy under the tank too, so that they get to Brad Pitt like sucks in the grenades basically. Mm-hmm. Very good scene.
I remember that came out like he was either right after or right before they announced David Ayer was doing Suicide Squad, yes. And I'm like, dude, what a perfect choice!
Exactly,
like, this movie's gonna rule. And not quite. Yeah.
Hey boys, right. I gotta go do macro.
Okay.
But I love doing this, so thanks
appreciate
for having
you, buddy.
Me.
Next time we do a war one. All right, so. Yep. Just so you know, Chiefs' final team ended up being Inglourious Basterds, Patton, Dunkirk, Lincoln, Three Kings, which I think is pretty damn pretty solid as well. All right, so my last pick is going to be a movie that not many people have seen, which is Come and See. Come and See is, I think, one of the greatest movies, period, that I've ever seen. It's a foreign movie, very anti-war, kind of like really gives you like a perspective on World War II and like a lot of the Nazi crimes that maybe you don't see normally, because I think that we usually relate it to, we think like Schindler's List as far as movies goes and shit like that, but like the Come and See I think really is one that if you've never seen it and you watch it, it will fuck you up. It is that kind of movie. It is one that like it's probably like a 99 or 100 for me on movierankings.net.
Wow.
But I knew I was going to be able to get it late because it's not a very well seen movie, if that makes sense. White Sox Dave, round us out.
There's a few different paths I can take here, but all right. So I wanted to go with why am I fucking blanking on it?
Got a lot to pick from.
I know. Zero Dark Thirty.
Sure.
I don't know why I was blanking. I don't know if that's.
It definitely is.
I would count it. It's a war movie in which you see almost zero war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but I
it's like
you
the behind
have to
the
count
scenes.
It.
I'm not.
I think you can.
I'm going American Sniper.
Okay. American Sniper. I think a very misunderstood movie, but very.
Why do you say that?
I hate it.
I think people watch that movie. A lot of people watch it and be like, "Oh fuck, I want to go enlist." Like, no, this is a very marked anti-war movie. Like, it is against war. If you watch it and you think like, "Damn, this is sick," like you're misunderstanding it completely. But I think a very good movie, whatever that's worth, Brad.
Bradley Cooper.
I almost said Brad Pitt. Bradley Cooper, very, very good in that movie.
He is, yeah.
Why did you pick it, though?
Just sheer entertainment value. I would rather watch that if I had to choose between that or Zero Dark Thirty. Zero Dark Thirty is probably the better movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica Chastain in it was just unfucking believable. Mm-hmm. Just nailed that role to perfection. American Sniper, I'll watch that more often.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, so that rounds up
the
teams.
Even if it's just shock value, and even if I'm not, you know, getting into the connotation of the actual film, then, like, I get all that, but gun to head, no pun intended, I'm going to go American Sniper over Zero Dark Thirty.
So Chris's team ends up being Apocalypse Now, The Deer Hunter, The Hurt Locker, Hacksaw Ridge, and Fury. My team is 1917, Full Metal Jacket, Das Boot, Red Dawn, Come and See. White Sox Dave got Black Hawk Down, Platoon, Lone Survivor, Starship Troopers, and American Sniper. An insane team, but one that I think will get you some popular vote when we put this up. Some ones we left off, or at least from my list, Paths of Glory, Dirty Dozen, Great Escape, The Patriot, which we talked about, Jarhead, We Were Soldiers, which is one I think we was alluded to before.
Yeah.
The Patriot is the all-time, like, that's right up there for me with Shawshank in terms of, like, if it's on, I immediately stopped.
At least to watch the Aim Small, Miss Small, like, ambush scene, which is incredible every time
I love
watch
that
it.
Scene. Becomes a ghost in that scene.
Enemy at the Gates, Defiance, Valkyrie, Overlord. There's a lot more to pick from.
A couple more. MASH, one best picture.
Is that
picture
the one with Owen Wilson?
Which one?
Or Luke Wilson?
No, that's Behind Enemy Lines.
That
movie's so cornballed.
It's so bad.
Yeah,
terrible.
I appreciate when actors go outside their comfort zone, which is what is it? Owen or Luke?
It was Owen in that one. That one was Owen. Yeah,
it was Owen, and
the Grand Theft Auto 4.
He tried to do it.
Not
for him.
If it was anyone else, it might be a little bit better of a movie. But like,
it could have been. But that movie plays out literally like a video game.
Gene Hackman was in the fourth.
Yeah, Gene Hackman's in it. He's like the ultimate general
actor. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have good teams. Thank you guys for joining in for the draft and to the absent Smitty, obviously, and Smitty and Chief. Make sure to listen to Dog Walk and watch all Barstool Chicago stuff. They basically do what more or less the stuff we do, but among, like I say, in a bigger, broader group of subjects.
And we fight nonstop.
And they fight nonstop. They fight a lot more than we fight on LCB, which if you're looking forward, they got it. And we'll be back, I think, with Jeff because the Dozen Tournament, we wrapped up by then. But we will see you next time.